Welcome and congratulations to King Bad News Barrett. That's right, bitches. Fucking King Bad News Barrett we just saw crowned on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
$13 for me.
$13 for...
technically, it's still... Yeah, technically, it's still free.
For the Mountie. And free for new subscribers this month. Heavy Set is here. Hey, Heavy, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Just all right. He's laying down in his cab, guys. The Mountie is here for everybody from Canada. Canada.
I'm calling it now. Paul Rudd is the worst drawing Marvel character in the histories.
Oh my god, I fucking hate you so much. I'm gonna fucking destroy you on Cerebral Satire coming up.
And man's a jobber.
Katie, the First Lady's here.
How do you do?
Biohazard is here.
What's up, guys?
And the mob jockey's here. He's not back yet. He's here, though.
I'm here.
Don't be DRG.
I'm fuck here.
Thank you,
Mob. DRG this week.
Thank you, Mob. Mob is here. Hey, Mob.
Minus the TNA talk.
Yeah, thank you. So let's move in to our keep, toss, or improve. Heavy Set, you're up first.
Oh, fuck. I want to keep the King of the Ring back.
King of the Ring is back, my man. It is crowned and done.
I don't like the short notice. Literally. Yeah. We get told the day before the tournament starts, we got this great thing, Extreme Rules. Oh, yeah, by the way, King of the Ring is coming back next week. We got Extreme Rules. Wait, King of the Ring tomorrow? And it's going to be on the network on Tuesday? Why haven't we been promoting this for like a month?
I was going to say, you didn't like the promotion of it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, one, there should have been more people, because if you go back and look at old King of the Ring pay-per-views, there was way more people started out that shit
That was a pay-per-view. Six. And when they did the pay-per-views, actually, they would have qualifying matches for, like, months.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they had the full bracket, and then they did the pay-per-view. So, but granted, this is a smaller format, but at the same time, they could have, depending on what they have set up for now afterwards, but they could have had this set up for a couple weeks. We could have literally had either have this show on the WWE Network for King of the Ring and have it just strictly these matches, or you could have made a big enough tournament and have qualifying matches to last through all three shows.
Yeah, I didn't know
of being Raw, SmackDown, and the added King of
That's
Ring.
Exactly what I was going to say. I didn't know we were actually going to see, I thought we were going to see a half an hour show, 20 minutes per wrestling match out of a qualifying to go into the finals, where we're going to see the finals at Payback, but we saw the crowning of the King of the Ring. And don't get me wrong, I love King of the Ring. I love the whole tournament style, but in 2 days we see the King of the Ring? Is that?
Yeah.
And Barrett.
Haven't they done it in 1 week before, though?
Have they?
One Raw?
I don't think it was. Yeah, they did. It was a whole Raw episode, but it was from...
I want to say Sheamus and Regals, both of the times were just... But also with them, we knew weeks ahead of time that because they built up fucking King of the Ring, and this was like, oh, by the way, you know that thing that you guys really like, King of the Ring? Yeah, we're bringing it back tomorrow.
You think it was because... does anybody think it was because of the free promotion of April?
Probably.
Yeah, and me too.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they can't fucking promote the goddamn thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It almost has to be like a last minute thing. Yeah. Like they had to come up with this like the week before the pay-per-view.
Maybe
try to work it in.
I've heard it was planned Friday was the finalizing of it.
Jesus Christ, McMahon. Come on.
Welcome to the WWE.
All right. So I'm going to break it down for you. So this is literally like they used the whole quote unquote week of WWE Network before thing where WWE Network is going to come out with all new shows. No, this is the week of the WWE Network. If you guys are going to watch or subscribe to the WWE Network, do it this week because every new show is this week. Anything that is good on the WWE Network is premiering. I mean, every day I have to watch the WWE Network to find out what's going on and the cool news shows. But they didn't even promote the Renee show, and I watched it and I loved it. It was only a 15 minute show, and I still really enjoyed it.
What the hell was the deal with that?
Is, I don't know.
I mean, I didn't even know anything about it until I was watching King of the Ring and saw the
promo. It's fan. I'll tell you about it when we go into What's On. Heavyset, toss.
Can we say this? The thing that people have been complaining about for a very long time is starting to happen. This network is starting to have more relevancy. We're starting to add the new shows. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like wrestling fans, and I've said it before on this show and many other shows, that wrestling fans have no patience.
It's true.
And this is one of those things that we had to, I think the WWE Network had to get past a certain point. And now that they're past that certain point, they're expanding. Because I know one thing that people always complain about was, oh, you know, they don't have all the Raws on there. Yeah. They don't have all this. One thing that WWE, I think they didn't want to do was just put their whole fucking library on there at the beginning because then you would probably get, you would try to burn through it as quick as you could, but now they want you to, they'll serve you a little bit, they want you to eat it up, devour it, and then you're sitting there waiting for more a couple months down the road whenever they're ready to hand it to you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Netflix, I mean, I compare the two because they're almost exactly the same, minus the fact that WWE Network actually has a streaming live content all the time. They're always broadcasting things. Netflix doesn't have that. So the cool thing about Netflix is the fact that you get all the Daredevils at the same time. You get all the House of Cards at the same time. And I was saying at Cerebral Satire last week, episode 24, I was saying that they actually film things differently now based on their format. So you don't get a commercial break. You don't get a climax, then a commercial break, a climax, then a commercial break, a climax, then a commercial break. You get the entire episode is climaxing to a certain point, and then you get your final show, and then you can go on to the next episode because you get all 13 episodes at the same time. The WWE Network is not doing that. They are being very selective in what they release and what they don't. Countdowns are released once per week. They want you guys to hit that network every single day to check out to see what's new. And I totally 100% agree with that, because if I did get all the countdowns in one day, I would watch all the countdowns in one day.
Well, I don't mean just that. I mean talking about like Raw, for example.
Yeah.
They had like the first, I think, first couple years of Raw are all on there, and then they get very sporadic.
Yes.
And people are like, well, I want this and I want that. And then recently they're like, all right, you know, we added.
Here's the attitude error.
Well, they added like certain ones for certain years.
It was like 91. They're going
to build.
It was like 96 or something through like 97 or something like that. I can't remember.
But still, I mean, they're building this library.
Absolutely.
And they're not giving you the whole thing like everybody wants. Like, oh, I want to watch this run. It's not on the network. Okay, I understand that it's not on there now, but it will be. They want you to anticipate it.
Yeah.
It's sporadic. They post new things and then they post old things one at a time.
Yeah.
You got to keep in mind this. They got to filter through it, right? There has to be some editing on their part to put it on the network, and I'm sure they have to edit out certain things. So you got to keep that in mind too. They're not just going to take everything on their VHS player and throw it on there. I mean, it does take some time. ECW stuff, especially the music, had to get edited out. So the editors can go a certain speed, but I mean, at the same time, you got to give them a bit of time.
How much editing goes into a Raw?
But here's the thing, though. When you're talking about your editing, there's certain aspects of this that have been already done, and they have to be sitting somewhere because they had WWE 24/7 for a while. Mm. A lot of that had to be edited down because of, you know, the ECW music or format.
It's the same thing. Why? It's the exact same thing. There's a reason. There's 100% reason why. If you go on to the WWE Network, and I have, if you go into the WWE website and you look up jobs, one of their main jobs, that stays up there is video editing. That's one of their main jobs is video editing. Well, they call it video producing or whatever, because they need that many people to do it and keep that content coming each and every week, because it's not an easy thing to do to edit that stuff down to make the Renee show good, make this show good, make the new Corey Graves show good. You have to edit that stuff down. You can't just take all the Raw video and just slap it together and just be like, here you go, here's what your show is. No, that doesn't work like that. All right. Toss or improve, Heavyset.
Let me see. Come back to me on this one.
Okay.
I really don't think about it.
All right. Old School at the Movies is with us this week. The Mountie. keep Toss or Improve.
I'm gonna jump on this bandwagon. The network stuff this week, I mean, we're talking Too Hot for TV, Jerry Springer, mm-hmm. This King of the Ring out of nowhere, Mick Foley show. I'd love to see that.
Can't wait.
Jericho's podcast, yep. Even the Mayweather Big Show is. I mean, obviously the timing's fantastic for that, and just to see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, I think it'd be awesome. So. I know it's a general thing, but the entire freaking network this week, and if they keep this up, man, they're going to keep that subscriber base up. It's great.
God, yeah. Oh,
Is the Mayweather Big Show a rivalries episode, or is it its own thing?
It's his own thing.
Okay.
It's his own thing. It's not a rivalries episode. It's kind of like, because rivalries kind of has to go through a whole, like, I think they really go through like years of rivalries or
like WrestleMania Rewind, I think it was what I was saying.
Yeah, that was the last episode but this is like a behind the scenes thing. You get to see I think it's new interviews with Big Show and Mayweather. And it's a good thing because like Mountie said, they're going off of Mayweather's getting ready to have this huge fight, and they're advertising Mayweather's fight on the network.
It is good timing.
Toss or improve the Mountie?
I want to toss every Raw since Mania except for the first hour of the first Raw since Mania. Everything else, toss the entire thing in the fucking trash.
Every Raw since Mania except for the first hour.
Except for the first hour. Ever since that whole fucking first hour, man. Lesnar and the fucking debut of the NXT guys. Hot fucking smart crowd. After that, man, I can't do it anymore. Maybe I'm growing out of it. Maybe it's just I'm losing my patience. But I can just do the pay-per-views now. Is this the same with you guys?
I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to have to say that I really enjoyed this week's Raw. I really did. This week's Raw was on point. It had plenty of wrestling. It had storyline development. It had backstage stuff. It had everything. It had everything that I wanted from a Raw inside of a Raw.
Agreed.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt for that.
Yeah.
I would kind of agree with Mountie in a sense. A lot of the Raws have been snooze fests. And it was even before Mania. Go back to Royal Rumble. There was a lot of Raws that were just kind of bad. Granted, this week's Raw, there was some good matches. Last week's, it was like the first hour and a half was good. And after that, it just kind of fizzles out. I don't know if it's because we're in a wrestling hangover moment right now or what it is, but the pay-per-view is phenomenal. Raw, yeah.
You guys got to learn how to DVR stuff.
Yeah. I agree with the Mountie, but go ahead, Heavy.
I was going to say, whenever we're done, I got my toss.
Go ahead. Give us your toss.
I want to toss Daniel Bryan. I think it's time to retire.
Retire?
Hold on. Yes, because there's somebody that he reminds me of. It's a guy who goes by the name of Corey Graves. Injuries got too high, and he had to find something else to do. I think he needs to retire. I think he needs to go in some other role, non-wrestling related, even go down to being a trainer, because he has history of training wrestlers. Because if I'm correct, what was it that I just read? He trained Sarah Del Rey. Mm-hmm. Who is now the
trainer,
head female trainer, mm-hmm. On the performance center at mm-hmm. NXT, who has been highly responsible for some of the things we've seen with those divisions. So, Daniel Bryan, I love you. You've had a great run, total underdog story, but these injuries are a bit much.
I care
more about your health than being on the screen.
All right, fair enough. Have you said, Mountie, you got something to say about that?
Yeah, well, he got a concussion. Is that the story for his recent injury or what?
Yeah, because he got bashed in the head.
I'm not sure. They really haven't said.
Okay, so he's got a concussion, yeah. And they're holding on it, let's just say.
Keeping it quiet. Yeah.
That's what they said it was, but then they said it wasn't. I think it's just the problems with the nerves in his arm. He's getting no strength in his arm. It keeps it's like it's good, and then it's not. I think
I've really noticed, though, if it's concussion, they usually say it. They're not shy about it. Yeah. But they are keeping whatever is keeping him out way under wraps.
It's a yes, then it's a no, then it's a yes.
He's gone for like 4 or 5 weeks.
How old is he?
Like
33, 35, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know all the answers, right? And I think we're a little quick to jump the gun. Yeah, he had one serious injury. He's come back from it. I mean, people do get hurt. People do get hurt. He's got a lot of longevity. I mean, the crowd still reacts to him. As long as it's not like a 1 or 2 year injury, I think you're jumping the gun there, buddy.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is during the.
Go ahead, Mom. Go ahead. Hang on.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Mom.
During his interview with Jericho, he kind of hinted that he's never recovered from the initial surgery. So that this may just be a continuation of that.
I don't know if he said that. He said that.
No, he didn't say it, but he sure as hell hinted it.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to it. I really, if you guys have a chance to listen to it, go back and listen. That is a great interview. It's a fantastic interview. And though I don't believe in a lot of what he does, if it works for him, it works for him. But he doesn't really say if I'm with Mom. He doesn't really say he recovers from it, but he doesn't. He says he's good. Like at that time, he said he was good.
Yeah, but what athlete at that level doesn't say he's good no matter what?
Yeah.
He came back a little too quick.
Bio?
I think if he wants to have more longevity, he has to cut out some of these moves that he's doing. If he does that, if he heals up this time for whatever it is, he'll have a longer career. But if he keeps doing all these dangerous moves, the high flying, the suicide dives, get your couple of spots in, do your big spots every now and then, but don't make it every match. He's got to slow down.
Okay.
Agree, because if you look at Austin in his last years, I saw a match with him and Kane. They punched each other for 30 minutes. That's all a punching and a stunner, 30 minutes, crowd ate it up.
I was about to say, it was still entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. Crowd ate it up.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan's over with the fans, so he doesn't have to do all these big moves anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mob Jockey, keep tossing proof.
Let's start with improve the night of knockouts thing. I like the idea, but there wasn't enough of it. It was like one four-way match, then some two weirdo chicks debuted, and then a title match.
Hey, fuck off.
The two weirdo chicks? I like Cherry Bomb. I'm talking about the other two are just fucking
weird.
Yeah,
that's Mia Yim and Marty Bell.
Okay, I hate that gimmick. It's awful.
Yeah, Jade is obviously Mia Yim. I should say, the obvious is Marty Bell. They only changed the spelling of her name, and Mia Yim is Jade.
I do like what they did, though, with Taryn Terrell at the end, though. That was pretty sweet.
I did like that. I want to say something about that. And as far as TNA goes with the women, I like the fact that they do have women factions because you don't really see a lot of that in WWE. I mean, you see tag teams here and there, but I like the idea of having a woman faction, and TNA has done really good with that.
Katie, how would you like if the Bellas split up and took a girl, like three or four girls each on their roster and had a faction?
Like separately their own faction.
Yeah.
It would be different, something interesting. I don't know how more interesting the Bellas could get though, really. I mean, because they're supposedly now face and they didn't really do a turn. Mm-hmm. It's several things confusing, but I like the idea of a female faction. So
that probably comes up in the news later.
Yeah.
What if there's a female faction that literally almost every diva took over a Raw one day? Like, literally, they just stayed in the ring and they just beat up on guys.
See, you're
beat up or beat off. Hold on.
You're thinking of having the entire roster. I think she's more leaning into like a three-person group.
No. I know what she's leaning towards. I'm just expounding on her thoughts.
Even in the ring, like WrestleMania 30.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the divas come out at the beginning of Raw and they stand in the ring and they fight off.
They do like the Nexus thing, but with all women.
Yes, exactly. They do like the Nexus thing, but all women.
I mean, I could see Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Bayley, all those girls do that to the current roster. It would be fun.
This is why we don't do it, because WWE only puts so much time towards the Divas division, and you're putting too much women in so little time.
Okay. And I don't really think they have the numbers for that right now, do they?
Yeah.
I think
on a side note, I've gotten to the point that when someone mentions anything NXT, and like bringing it like let's do this with NXT, ways to put them on Raw and mix them. It's like, why do we have to mix NXT wrestlers with everything?
No, and I'm not saying mix NXT wrestlers. With
I'm throwing that out.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Why? Yeah, I agree. There are certain people in NXT that I would like to move up, but yeah, absolutely no. I don't think that having NXT NXT with Raw is not a good thing. I don't believe it is.
Like let's make the first hour of Raw NXT.
No.
Let's have an NXT match at WrestleMania.
No.
But it's like I understand like the sentiment. Yeah, you want to see these guys move up. Good. That's the purpose
of
it.
That's the purpose of
it. Like if you're into college sports, which I'm not 100%. Sometimes, you know, if you get really behind somebody and they make it big, you know, you feel awesome. Or it's the same way with bands. If you've watched a band, you know, go from, you know, struggling in nightclubs to like becoming a big thing, like, you know, you get so far behind them because you love this movement that they went from nothing to something.
You feel like you feel like you helped them. You feel like a part of it.
You feel a part of them, or just the fact that you've watched this metamorphosis?
Which is the same thing I think that people feel with Neville, people feel with the Lucha Dragons, people feel with, did used to feel with Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose, or probably still with Dean Ambrose, but with, you know, it's the same thing. They feel like they're a part of it because they watch them come up from independent to NXT to Raw.
But it's one of those things, everybody has their time. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring them up. Well, it's not everybody, because there's going to be people who fall off. But if there's enough movement behind them, they'll bring them up. They want to bring them in at the right spot. People were wanting Dean Ambrose up forever when he was in NXT, and I was definitely one of them. But when they finally pulled the trigger, for that one at least, the Shield in general, you went, that was worth it.
All right. Mop, keep or toss?
Well, I was going to do a toss on the writer that came out and said something about the way the WWE looks at the divas, but I can't find the quote. Mm-hmm. Basically, he said what they were told was there are no heels and faces, that women are just basically bitches.
Yep. Crazy. That's pretty much.
I've seen that, but how it's long kind ago of, with the company?
I don't know. And it's been kind of tossed around that it may not be real. It may be taken out of context. But if that was said, come on. Really?
Yeah.
That's shit. It's
hard for me to believe that, or just trying to figure out like what time period he was a part of, because I'm like, the Divas Division now to what I'm going to call the Kelly era is really different.
It's huge.
And like, if
different.
It was back then, okay, I can kind of understand it, but like now I'm like, that's within WWE and NXT. Well, even though it's WWE, but still, like those two divisions, it's
so different.
It's a totally different world now.
Oh
yeah.
My god,
it is different, but they still, a lot of the times they treat them that way. How many times have we bitched about Alicia Fox never having be one side or the other? You know what I mean? It does appear that that's the way they look at them.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just not agreeing with it. I'm a little bit of gray, Mop, because I'm just like, there's so many opportunities that a lot of them have been given that a lot of them shouldn't have been given. And there's
they look good.
And there's so many missed opportunities that a lot of them haven't been given that should have been given. So
I think ultimately what my toss is just fucking Vince McMahon. He just needs to go now. He's done.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the fact that it's Vince or if it's the fact that there's still some divas sort of left from the old era in there and they're trying to sort through them, or if the divas from the old era are trying to get better because they've seen the divas in the NXT era. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I do know that the divas in NXT are not the divas that I like, and they're the ones on Raw are not the ones I like, other than the ones that can wrestle. I don't know. Go ahead, Bo.
I think it's more of there's a lot of people around Vince that are yes men that are, oh, it's his ass. He's probably like, hey, is this a good idea to cut them this short? And they're like, yes, your ideas are great. And he's like, oh, god damn it, I'm going to make them short matches then. Because if you turn it back a little bit, even in the Kelly era, you had Beth Phoenix and Natalya, who were the big heels of that time in the Divas division. So it's more of, do you sway away from how many writers there are? Maybe focus some more on the Divas division? Or like, do you go back and see what was going on then, try to recreate it, bring people up? What do you do?
I'm going to disagree with you on the yes men part. I don't think that Vince surrounds himself with yes men. I just don't.
Oh, god, yes, he does.
I don't think so.
Yes, he always he loves has. Getting his ass kissed.
I got a question for you guys. How long was that Naomi Bella match on the pay-per-view? That was a good 10-12 minutes.
It was 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's That's still 6 minutes more than they usually get. And tell me how many people were interested in that match.
I was.
That's because they were both portrayed as heels.
I want to say even at WrestleMania was actually the shortest match of the night. I think it was the only one in a single digit minute-wise.
But I mean, is it? They're still getting more than they used to.
Yeah, it's more.
There's a change, and I think it has to go with the NXT divas. They see what they're doing, and they want to improve their game. But you also have it led by the Bellas, who are dedicated. They're working hard to learn, to train more, so they can become better in the ring.
I agree.
I still don't think it's the NXT divas. I think fans' reaction might be because of the NXT Divas.
Yeah, I agree with both. Honestly, I think it's because of the NXT Divas. I think it's because of the fans reacting to the NXT Divas. I think it's everything. I think it's a perfect storm for the Divas to actually come up and become an actual seen as wrestling people.
I think two of the biggest reasons why the women's wrestling in WWE, the Divas division, has been looked at the way it is. I hate to say it.
Nikki's boobs.
No.
Thanks, Katie.
It's
Natalia's boob.
Oh, you're gonna that's me.
You're going to say Paige, aren't you?
AJ and Paige. Fucking Paige. Yep. And it's not because of how good they are. Yes, they are good. But nerdy fucking wrestling fans either relate to them one way or another.
Or finally
and they're like, they're not like, well, these aren't the pretty girls either. I can relate to these girls. They're great. They're great wrestlers. Well, what about the great wrestlers that were there before?
Or they find them attractive.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the main part. Yeah. It's they relate to them and they find them attractive. Yeah. Well, maybe even because of that, they find them attractive.
Yeah.
They don't look like the model. They look like the girl next door, and that's why we like them so much.
I don't know if AJ looks like the girl next door. I'll be honest with you. AJ doesn't look like any girl in my fucking apartment. Complex.
She looks like the anorexic boy next door.
She does. All right, Katie, keep to us or improve.
Well, my keep is Roman Reigns back in the title picture. I think he's been improving for months now. People are starting to be more receptive to him. And I'm happy with this triple threat match that we all knew was going to happen regardless of the voting. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good match.
I don't know if people are being more receptive to him or if it's him earning his way. I think that has to do with more of it than anything
else. Oh, please. There ain't no freaking earning. He's not cutting fucking Sesame Street fucking nursery rhyme promos.
No, that's something to do with him earning his way. They finally let him go. They let him speak the way he wants to speak. And then... what, Katie?
Be himself. Let him be himself.
They let him be himself. And the other thing is that he's been getting his ass beat in almost every match. Yeah, granted, coming out on top, most of them. But he's still been putting in a very good performance. If it's not a good performance, he's been putting in the risk of injuries, I will say. That Big Show match, and I know we'll get into it in the pay-per-view, but that Big Show match versus him was probably one of the most, was probably one of the best Big Show matches I've seen in years. Years. It was that good.
Agreed.
Katie agrees. Mom?
Oh, yeah, I agree, but I would agree, I give some of that to the Big Show, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You can still tell when I'm watching Raw and I'm listening to, and I can still hear him every once in a while, and just because I'm a smart, you can hear them tell Roman Reigns what to do next. You can hear Seth do it. You can hear Kane do it. You can hear Big Show do it. You can even hear Randy do it. That they're telling him what to do next because he's still unsure of himself. He just needs to cross that barrier, I think. I think he's done it.
No, that's not.
Yeah.
You said, hold on. You sat there just called you a smark and you just totally fucked up.
Okay.
They all do that. They're telling each other spots.
And usually the heel is the one calling the match.
I know
which
that.
Would be why Roman doesn't call matches.
Well, I know that, Mom.
It's not even that. Sometimes you're telling the other person what to do because what you're about to do.
Correct. I understand that. But when I see it consistently with everybody.
Watch John Cena.
If you watch John Cena's matches, people are leading him. Like with Roman Reigns, it would seem like they're leading him because he has less experience. So he's learning as he's being built up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, Katie.
It's not a learning thing.
Okay. All right, that's.
I mean,
that's
I get it.
Feeling.
I know the heel call action.
I'll call this for an example. It's. You know, I'll talk about it more later in the show of when I went to AIW over the weekend. There was a match in particular. It was EC3 versus Johnny Gargano. These guys both have plenty of experience. But I actually caught EC3 a couple times, and I catch us all through wrestling matches, especially a lot being live, where they'll say like whisper in someone's ear. It's you know, it's not a learning experience. It's what wrestlers do. It's communicating what you're doing.
I understand.
Cena's one that's real bad about hiding it too.
Yeah,
he is almost constantly talking.
Yeah, he's always talking. Katie, what's your toss or improve?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to put this in a category, but this is my question. How do we feel about Ryback versus Bray Wyatt?
I will throw it as my keep, but I'll wait.
Okay. Heavy set?
I want to see this play out because I will admit over the last year, I've kind of got bored of Bray Wyatt.
Me too. Mountie.
Great. Somebody else to job to. Fucking, is this guy ever going to get a win?
Never. Never. Mob jockey.
I actually think he'll beat Ryback because Ryback is less important than he is. Well, you look, I mean, seriously, look at who Bray's been losing to. It's Cena, Undertaker,
Daniel Bryan.
Right. It's all guys above him. Well, Ryback is now below him.
If he loses to Ryback, you might as well write him off. He's done.
Yeah, he's nothing. He's a fucking, he's a manager.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. You might as well write him off. I don't know what he needs lately. I haven't been that interested in him lately, honestly. I've been trying to listen to his promos. I'm just like, okay, you're always saying the same shit over and over again. Are you going to win this time? Is this the win
time? I don't even look at it a win. It's just he said the same shit, and losing the family has hurt him.
Yeah.
Freaking, I think Luke Harper has been way more entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
Bo Wyatt.
I agree.
Mr. Rowan.
Bo Wyatt, man. I was waiting for Bo Wyatt.
I thought they were going to do it, too. I really did last night.
Me, too. I was waiting for it. I was like, yes, please, with the Bo Wyatt. Please, that'd be great. Nope. No Bo Wyatt. So there's your answer,
Katie. I mean, then again, we could let the story play out, and that was a setup the whole time.
That'd be great. I don't know. Katie? No, we're good with you, right? We're
done with you. Yeah. I just want to say one more thing. Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if they worked together, Bo and Bray, as like this whole, maybe Bo could be like his manager or something. I don't know. But
no, man. Bo's a preacher.
Yeah. That's I want to exactly see how it plays out, though. I mean, he might be better than what we initially see. So we'll see what happens.
Biohazard, keep tossing proof.
Well, since we're on the topic, my keep was actually the Bray Wyatt Ryback storyline playing out or starting. The fact that they used Bo Dallas makes me want to tune in next week to see, do they have an alliance? Since they're brothers in real life, they could play into that, going into the story, into this feud.
Hmm.
And plus, I'm a Bray Wyatt mark, so there's that.
I think that was just a, hey, internet, here you go, have a little nugget, is all that really was.
I think it was a good, I think so too.
They need to change their gimmick and call them The Audit.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be fucking amazingly awesome. Bray is set in his, he's done. But he's going to be Bray until he either succeeds or he fails. That's what he's going to be.
The thing with me, it's my keep because it makes me want to tune in next week to see if they use Bo Dallas going forward, and just where it goes from there.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I'm
gonna just refrain that for next week for you.
Quiet news.
All right.
I don't see it, Bio. I really don't. I don't. I think it's just gonna be Bray and it's just gonna be Ryback. And you guys tell me if I'm wrong. Ryback looked really weird, and Sister Abigail, it didn't look plausible.
Yeah, a little bit. I agree on that.
It just didn't. It looked weird. No? Nobody?
Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's one of those wait and see.
Okay. All right. Bio, keep toss or improve.
Adam Rose versus Fandango. And the whole Rosa Mendez, them having sex in the ring stuff.
Are we tossing that?
Just get rid of her.
Yeah, he's tossing
the entire segment. Yes, there's no improve.
Yes, please.
The improve would be to toss this out.
The improve would have been like to give somebody else a little bit more time in their match or something. Somebody else a little bit more promo time. I agree. I hate the fact that Fandango is back to his dancing ways. I know everyone else is a mark about it. I'm not. I'm a huge fan of Fandango. Not a huge fan of him being Fandango.
This is a feud nobody cares about. There's no people that have interest in these characters.
Nope.
Fandango broke up with Rosa. Now she's having sex with Adam Rose in the ring.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, just like nobody gave a shit when he broke up with Summer Rae. But now I really do like the wrestler Fandango.
So do I.
I hate the gimmick.
Johnny Curtis, yes. I agree. I love the wrestler.
You and your little Johnny Curtis chants, yeah.
I love it, man. I'm telling you.
I would never do that.
I liked it. Mop, Heavy, you guys got anything to say about Fandango? And
do you just want me to repeat myself again?
Sorry, Mounty.
No, I'm good.
It's
Fandango.
All right. Keep tossing.
Fandango gets weird.
Keep tossing improve for me. Definitely the improve is would be the run up to King of the Ring. Why couldn't they take 5 minutes and advertise it during WrestleMania? I don't know.
Because they didn't know they were doing it at WrestleMania.
But they should have. They're a promotional machine.
I think the real question is why so fast?
Why so serious? That's the real
question. Yeah, why did it have to be now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where we have to wait 6-7 months, and then we're going to go, okay, Wade Barrett won. They wanted to get him into this feud and blah, blah, blah. Okay, now it makes sense.
Well, they could have even stretched out over a month, have one match at each Raw, and then have the show at the end of that. Yeah. But
Dean's getting ready to definitely do a feud against Dolph Ziggler.
Well, no, I think Ziggler and Sheamus are still going to continue.
Yeah, I know Ziggler and Sheamus are going to continue, but I'm telling you right now, Dean Ambrose is going to get in there somewhere. Dean Ambrose is not going to let that slide. He's not. Not going to let the fact that Dolph Ziggler screwed him out of being the King of the Ring.
Oh, God, that's what I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
With King of the Ring, they've spread it out this month, or at least the 3 weeks leading into Payback. That way you have storyline. You have a reason why these guys are fighting. You don't really need a whole lot other than the world title picture and the U.S. title picture. Maybe tag title, but that's about it.
I think we're really foreshadowing the Dean Ambrose heel turn. Like, when he lost to Cena after WrestleMania in that U.S. title match, there was just something about it. I'm just like, it made me think that he's going to, like, they're starting to build him turning heel, and that, like, everything is just seems to be pointing in that direction, at least for me.
And he even said in the ring, he said, I didn't even do anything wrong before they went to commercial break. He's like, I didn't even do anything wrong. What does that have to do with me? You know, I don't know. It's definitely an improve for me. The keep this week, I actually liked the commentating this week. I thought it was good.
Speaking of commentating and speaking of high. How about that Owen Hart comment?
What about it?
I missed that. Wait, I missed that he's talking about it. Him being a high flyer.
Match.
Yeah.
Booker T said that Owen wasn't a man that gravity forgot.
Well, it was.
Oh,
saying,
no,
it was saying didn't. Like if it was saying God. Someone said that.
You guys are such pussies, all of you.
No, I just can't believe they let him say that.
Well, they didn't let him say it. It's Booker T.
What do you mean, all of you?
I'm talking about all of them who have a problem with him saying that. That's what I'm saying. It's let it fucking go. It was Booker T. He says what he wants. Here, he doesn't listen to the little thing in his ear.
I have the exact quote here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
BL said that Neville could be the first high-flying King of the Ring. Of course, Owen Hart was a high flyer, but not like this. And Booker T responded with, he couldn't defy gravity.
Okay.
Oh my God! I missed that. I would have so laughed.
It's not a shot. Here's
the thing about that quote. I think I know what he meant. He was basically saying like he's a high flyer, but like nowhere on the level of Neville. Mm-hmm. But the accidental irony to that statement is fucking hilarious to me.
I'll absolutely go with that. I'll absolutely 100% go with that, Heavy. But the fact is that all the fucking idiots that watch fucking this shit and go on Twitter and go, oh my God, I can't believe Booker just said that. That's wrong. Shut the fuck up, all of you. You're a bunch of fucking cunts.
Yeah, he didn't mean anything by it. He just said it.
He says what he wants.
Yeah, Booker just best kind of says anything on his head.
It's the best thing about Booker on commentary. It's the fact that he just says what he wants. He doesn't listen to anybody else behind the fucking curtain. It's the best thing about it. Fucking fantastic.
He listens. He just can't repeat it.
Yeah, that too.
He ended up apologizing on Twitter about it.
Yeah.
I never meant to disrespect Owen. That was never my intention.
Because of a bunch of fucking assholes. He has to apologize because of a bunch of fucking assholes on Twitter running their mouth thinking that he dogs fucking one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Fuck you guys on Twitter. Fuck all of you fucking assholes.
And it ain't like we haven't all done something like that where we stuck our foot in our mouth.
Exactly. You just say it and then you think about it 10 seconds later and you're like, did I say that? And I didn't realize I said that. Of course. You know.
That are you just say something and you're meaning in a completely different way, but it's just the wrong choice of words.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, guys, what's on? What are we watching? What are we listening to? Heavy set, you're first, then we'll go right into the Mountie.
The only wrestling I got to watch this week, on TV, was Raw. Actually, only got to watch half of it, but still, that was enough for me. But one that I'm going to save a little bit for later in the show, because it's going to be my best of the week, is I went to AIW's latest show, Make 'em Say which was a rap theme show, and it was fucking hilarious. All the matches had no like rules. It was actually a fairly interesting show leading up to the next two shows they have coming up, which I really can't wait for. But I'll get more of that the best of the week.
Waiting for me?
Yeah, it looks like
you're waiting for me.
Go ahead, DeMountie.
All right. My best of the week is probably going to be the main event of Extreme Rules.
Not your best of the week, asshole.
I was on the phone when you were talking.
It's your what's on. What's on? What are you watching? What are you listening to?
Daredevil, baby. Oh, my God. Loving it.
What?
Fantastic. You want to talk about it? You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Let's ruin everybody else's experience.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
it. Do it for Andy.
Except for that chick with the mole. I can't fucking have her.
Oh, I love her. I love her. Dude, she's amazing.
You talking about the blonde?
But, no, yeah. The redhead.
Yeah.
She's a redhead.
No, but I mean, it's part like I was gonna say Tango and Cash. What's the Franklin and Bash?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
almost like that and an action show in the same fucking show. Like it's really I mean Ben Affleck's Daredevil, you know, was an abortion of a movie, but still, I mean, this really brings back the franchise. Loving Netflix bringing everything back. Even fucking Full House is coming back with these guys. So.
Dude, Daredevil, blood, cursing, violence. So great storytelling, amazing acting, the performance of Kingpin, oh my God, and then the girlfriend Vanessa, holy fuck. The most interesting character of all of them is the girlfriend Vanessa. Why the fuck would you want to date a guy like that? Why would you do that? Because the power, because the money, right? Because
like, oh my God.
It's amazing. The whole thing is amazing.
Agreed.
Yeah, and then I'm on my second watching of it now.
The second episode, Mountie, with the single shot. Do you know they put tracks on the ceiling with the camera? That's how they did that single shot.
Yeah, I love it. It just reminded me of Kick-Ass so much. Oh, yes. It's just fucking,
it's amazing.
They're doing it right.
That fight is not the best one. The best one is with, I think he's the Hand.
The Hand?
The Japanese guy.
Oh, you like that one better?
Was that your Japanese impression of being impressed?
No. Oh, my God. Oh. I thought Vamp was going to say something else.
No.
Whatever the hell that weapon was that he had was, Jesus Christ, that was fucking amazing.
It was good. Oh, all of it was good. Whoa. Absolutely, Mountie. Hands down. Yes. Mop, what's on?
Let's see. Raw. I actually caught up with TNA. Let's do a podcast. It's Sam Roberts' podcast.
Okay.
He's got like, he's basically a fan with access to all of the WWE superstars.
Is that the guy with the big hair?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So he's
I like his show style better than some of the other ones.
He's the guy on Sirius. Yeah. He's the guy on Sirius too.
Right. Yeah. But he actually gets most of the people that he's had on. He gets the real side of them, mm-hmm. where they can actually be loose and shit.
Yeah. He was the first one that got the first interview with Bray Wyatt that got him out of character.
Yeah.
Well, he just did Miz and Summer Rae together. Oh, my God.
That one was pretty good.
That was really good. Fucking Miz cutting a promo on the fans is great.
What's it called again?
Sam Roberts Podcast.
It's just
Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Look it up, guys.
Because I think he has another one. Yeah. But his show is, unlike the other one, they do the interview first and then they get into the week of wrestling instead of like JR, whatever. It's gotcha. They do week of wrestling in the interview. Okay. They do it that way, and I like it a little better because you get right into what you want to listen to. If you don't want to listen to what he thinks about fucking Ryback and Bray Wyatt or whatever, you can just cut it off and listen to the next one.
Well, last week Jericho only had 17 minutes of bullshit before he got into his interview with fucking William Regal.
You know why?
The interview was an hour and a half long.
I know. It was great.
It was Stone Cold, the one that was posted today about the Extreme Rules was the same way.
The problem with JR is, I don't know if you've noticed this, he's got old man-itis.
Oh, yes, he does.
Where he'll fucking repeat the same thing every week.
And the fact that he's telling everybody how to perform and act and everything.
And he wants to be sponsored by Sonic and his Diet Peach iced tea.
And barbecue sauce.
I can't stand JR's podcast. He promotes
his barbecue sauce being sold on WWE Shop and some soda thing.
I absolutely love JR. I love JR commentating. He is the voice in my head when I commentate. Absolutely. 100%. A legend, hero, everything.
He was great at his time.
His podcast.
But his time has passed.
His time has passed. His time is absolutely passed. Your time is up. My time is now. Exactly. Katie, what is on?
Well, I'll start with some non-wrestling stuff. I'm actually getting excited to see Avengers this weekend. I've watched the first one again. I've watched Thor, The Dark World, and The Last Captain America to get me prepared and excited.
Katie's all excited for the Avengers. You got your tickets yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good. Good. I'm ready to go. I'm going Saturday, actually.
Bio and I are probably going to go on Friday.
No,
we don't have assigned seats in our theater. Because our theater sucks. But if I went back to Atlanta, all my friends, all my group of friends in Atlanta, they rented out three rows of seats in the AMC near them, the big AMC near them. Three entire rows. That's how many people they have going in a group.
Question for you guys. I know it's completely off topic, so I'll make it quick. If you had the luxury of signing your seat, but you got to pay $5 more, do you do it?
Ooh.
No, I don't think I would.
For a movie?
It depends. It depends on when I'm gone.
Yeah.
If I'm going night of release, yes. If I'm going like 2 weeks after, no, I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, if now, I'm going, I agree with that. If I'm going night of release, yes, I want a assigned seat. Yes, absolutely. If I'm going 2 weeks afterwards, no, it's all free walk-in. Let me go whenever I want.
Basically, what are you asking that, like, you're going to get to see the movie no matter what, mm-hmm. but you get to pick a seat for $5?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you an example. Like, say Marvel's. Like, Batman, we had the lineup. I'd say a good 90 minutes to 2 hours before the movie started. Oh, yeah, started.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To get a good seat.
I asked myself, what's my time worth? Yeah. It's worth the extra $5.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that case, yes, I would have paid.
Yeah.
The
oh, yeah, yeah.
All the new AMCs that they've redone across the country that have the proper food that you can drink beer there, they all have assigned seats now. So you absolutely really?
That
yes.
Goes, that goes back to seeing it night of or weekend of versus...
No, it's 2 weeks later. No.
If I'm going night of
Biohazard, you have the AH walk.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna hang up a bio totally. Real quick and call him back.
But here where I'm at, dude, I've never had that kind of a 2 hour wait for a movie.
When they get to your wherever you're at, well, Mop, and they redo your AMC, you will have assigned seats. That's the new AMC.
We don't
AMC.
Have AMC anymore, I don't think.
Oh, well, there you go. If you don't have AMC, the new AMC model is they went in and they redid every theater in Atlanta, and they all have assigned seats. You can drink beer there. You can do a lot of things you couldn't do beforehand. And the seats recline, and they're leather.
No, they added beer here, like beverages here, but...
My question for you, Mop, though, is when was the last time you went to a midnight showing?
Oh, the midnight showing? I don't think
because
I've ever been to.
Because midnight showings are your normal big mm-hmm. Sellouts. Granted, it's not the only time.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
The only time I've been into a theater where it's like they were, like you had ushers like trying to scramble to find, you know, seats together for you was mine and my ex's, our first Valentine's Day together. We went to see Friday the 13th. And that fucking theater, which was a nice big Cinemark Tinseltown theater, fucking there was no two seats together anywhere.
Thanks for the
we actually had to sit in the two front rows that are actually on the floor right in front of the fucking screen.
Nah,
fucking
I just walk out and get my refund.
Yeah, I've never been that interested in a movie that I want to go fight that many people. No, I would literally be in a fight before it was
I over. Went and saw Captain America here on the night of release. This is actually probably the first Avengers that I'm probably going to see not night of release that I think about it.
This will be my first one, counting.
Most of my Marvels I've gone and seen night of release with my friends, but mm-hmm. I'm not with my friends anymore. So, but yeah. I would pay the $5 for the first week to get my seat assigned. Yes, absolutely.
I think the real question is between you and Bio, who's paying for dinner beforehand?
Me. I'm the one who makes the most money.
Oh, so you?
Anybody?
So that makes Bio the bitch?
Bio, what's on?
Nothing. I rewatched the Stone Cold documentary.
The last one, the first one, the third one, which one?
Fuck, I guess the last one.
What was it called?
I don't even know if there was a call. Fucking fine, man.
Is it the one where he's interviewed in his house?
Yeah, the one that's on the network where it's like right next to The Rock went on there. Yeah,
it was the last one. It was the last one.
So I rewatched that and just some random stuff on TV. I caught up with Lucha Underground finally. I still am behind on Impact Wrestling about 3 weeks now.
Have you seen Wayne or Ant yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I caught the first two Orlando episodes, and then I haven't watched since then.
Oh, the ones you were supposed to be there for?
The last ones, yeah.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, I haven't really been watching anything. Haven't been playing anything besides music stuff, but that's all about it. All
right. Let's see. I started off with watching the network. Adam, so much network going on right now. I saw the Renee Undefined. That's what it's called, right, Katie? Undefined?
Unfiltered.
Yeah. Thank you. Unfiltered. It was with Seth Rollins. It was only 15 minutes. I have to say I really enjoyed it. I tweeted out to WWE to make it longer, to make it 30 minutes. So I'm hoping that just like the Tyler Graves one, it's going to be longer than the next.
Graves.
Corey Graves. Thank you. Graves. I don't know why I keep saying Tyler Graves. Corey Graves one is going to be longer than next episode.
Ezekiel Woods.
Ezekiel Woods, yeah. I hope it's going to be really good. I really enjoyed it because it wasn't, you don't get the characters. You get her being her quirky self, her cute, beautiful, quirky self. And then you get the wrestler because she's so personable. You get the wrestler just being himself. So you hear about Seth Rollins' little doggy, and you hear about him working out, and you hear about where they eat, where they drink, stuff like that. It's just really neat to hear them talk about themselves instead of, oh, Seth Rollins says, you know, in the third person or whatever like that. That's really neat. The Too Hot for TV wasn't as hot for TV as I wanted it to be. It was all unedited. I will say that. It was all unfiltered. The cursing was in there, so they said shit a couple times or whatever. But it just wasn't as hot for TV as I expected it to be.
I didn't think it was going to be that hot anyway. I mean, how much could they really put on there?
They could put
that risque.
All of the stuff from the 90s on there. I mean, the late 90s. Sorry, the late 90s. I mean, I think they will eventually cater, but I mean, yeah. I'm sure they're ramping up. You know, you don't want to put Triple H and Shawn Michaels' ass on TV the first episode. You know, this episode
it's rated TV-14, so it is blocked by the parental guidance.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to see the Miss Cat's nipples, titties on.
Yeah, obviously they're not going to do nudity, but yeah. There's certain things that if you're going to be called too hot for TV, you need to leave it in there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And this one had it seems like they're going to have themes. So this one was themed love stories or couples or whatever. So they showed
Edge and Lita were on there.
Edge and Lita was on there. Although they didn't show the bed scene. It was more between Edge. It was more between Lita and Matt Hardy than Edge. Lita and Dean Malenko, which I didn't realize they had a relationship until Matt Hardy broke it up.
Well, they didn't. He tried to get to her, but she wasn't interested.
Yeah. And then Stephanie and Triple H. All of Stephanie's relationships was on there with Triple H ending it and beginning it. Mark Henry was on there with a sexual chocolate. They showed a lot of stuff about him that I wasn't expecting him to. A lot of scantily cladded women.
Is it an hour long episode?
It's 30 minutes.
No. There's a lot of content in 30 minutes.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's essentially a clip show. It's 30 minutes. I'm pretty sure it's 30 minutes. It is 30 minutes. I'm not really sure what else is on. I've Jericho podcast with William Regal, Stone Cold podcast. I haven't listened to yet. I'll listen to it tomorrow. I think that's about it. All right, guys, let's break down the pay-per-view results for this week. And I don't have a buffer for this, so I'll just keep talking.
Let's get extreme.
Extreme Raw. Wrong show. All right, guys. So Extreme Rules finished up. We're going to go over each match real quick and to see what happened. Brass Ring Club versus New Day. New Day won. So DRG, Ant, and AA took New Day. Mounty, what did you think about this match?
You know what? I thought it was one of the better matches on the card. I love the fact that they had Cesaro and Kidd as the faces. The fans are really adopting them, I find.
Absolutely.
It sucks the rain was a little quick, but I understand why they're doing it. It's for the turn. Mm-hmm. And I like the angry Blackshin idea. Get Naomi in there. I mean, it's...
Happy Blackshin idea. They're still happy.
There you go. Happy, soon to be angry Blackshin. I understand why they're not doing it now. It's unfortunately every time they want to turn them, they have a fucking riot in the States.
Yep.
But, you know, that's just the way it is. So you gotta
hold off. Oh my God, it's so fucking true.
You talk about omens.
Holy shit.
Thank God
so
they weren't in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, no fucking shit. Oh my God.
Don't they go to Baltimore for payback?
Do they? Yeah. Oh, they may not.
They may not now.
Katie is going to check. Anybody else want to say anything about the Brass Ring Club versus New Day match? I thought it was a really good match. The way they won was fitting. They're really, really being heelish. The way that Big E won versus Tyson Kidd on Raw was super heelish.
They are in Baltimore on Payback, May 17.
Maybe not. Maybe they're not in Baltimore on Payback. I'm sure that they're scrambling for a new venue right now.
Oh, I'm sure
they'll film on the film on the roof of the WWE headquarters.
No, they may do DC. They'll probably do DC.
They may still do Baltimore. Who knows? They did it, and didn't they go to St. Louis?
Yeah, they did.
Battlegrounds, St. Louis in July.
Anybody want to say anything else about this match before we move on?
Big E going over the top rope 4 times.
Oh, yeah. Let's forget about that. Yeah, Big E jumping in and out of the ring. He
felt the fucking ground move on that
one. He earned his fucking his title this week, man. Earned it. There was supposed to be a Daniel Bryan versus Bad News Barrett. That didn't happen. It was Daniel Bryan versus Neville. Who caught this, and what did you guys think about it?
Barrett versus Neville?
Barrett versus Neville.
Sorry. Barrett versus Neville. I apologize. Barrett versus Neville. Who caught this, and what did you guys think of it? Heavy set. Did you catch it?
No, we thought we talked about this on the show.
Oh, we did. The Mountie.
Yep.
Did you catch it?
Oddly enough, it was happening at the same time as Game 6 of the first round for the Montreal Canadiens. So it was more Canadiens. I had both at the same time, but I missed most of the match.
It was a really, really good match. Mob, Jackie, tell us about it.
Were you drinking Labatt Blue at the same time?
Yeah, and eating a Nutella donut. Suck it.
From Tim Hortons? Yeah, it was a good match. Not much else you can say.
You said it was the best match of the night.
Yeah, I do think it was best match of the night.
That's more than you can say, and you just said.
Well, I know, but we'd already, we kind of already talked about it. So
we covered it on Sunday.
All right. Katie, Bio, anybody else want to say anything about the...
No, it was a good match. I mean, the defeat didn't hurt Barrett. I mean, he would go on to win King of the Ring, mm-hmm. so...
In the same match.
Yeah,
Barrett versus Neville again. He won.
Yeah, Barrett
won this time.
Yep.
Which means they'll probably face each other at Payback now.
You think so?
Why not? You've one win apiece.
It's a good possibility. All right, then
you really think they're thinking that logical then?
No.
No, but I think that's the easiest way to have a match that takes 10-15 minutes.
You have Nikki versus Naomi. And we have DV with Nikki, Heavyset Naomi, Katie with Nikki, Mop with Nikki, Ant with Nikki, Double A with Nikki, Biohazard, DRG, and Heavyset with Naomi. Nikki retains the Divas Championship. The Mountie. What did you think about this match?
You know what? They gave effort. At least they gave him 7 minutes. But again, what happens on every Divas match on a pay-per-view, the second I hear that, you can look, man, you can't, we instantly run to take a piss.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's your whole household's waiting in line instead of watching
the
pay-per-view.
I have a queue of 3 to 4 people to take a piss during the Divas match.
Are you waiting in line, or are you just like... sitting around it or standing around and doing it together like sword fighting?
Well, I mean,
don't cross the streams.
And then you guys are like, you can look, but you can't touch.
I got nothing.
They have a big trough.
Yeah, I want a trough in my fucking bathroom.
Hey, dude, I got one shower, one sink, and one bathroom, so I can service 3 at the same time.
Hey, Mountie, do you guys think of the same? Do you guys think that same way when you guys are watching NXT or when you guys are watching Charlotte?
No way,
or Paige?
Fucking NXT Divas matches are awesome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and as I said on the live cast thingy, the Bellas are never going to get a legitimate chance. They have improved so fucking much; it's not funny. But nobody's going to give them half a chance.
But they're not. They have improved. I 100% agree with you, Mop. They're not up there with those Divas. They're just not. They're not up there. They're not even up there with Naomi.
Stephanie Brie at SummerSlam.
What?
You didn't think that was a good match?
No.
You're crazy.
No. I thought Stephanie outperformed her, pre-judges.
Better matches.
Yes. Thank you, Katie. It was Stephanie, one of Stephanie's better matches, but one of Brie's better matches?
And you don't think it had anything to do with Brie?
No, I'm not saying it didn't.
I think if we go back to the SummerSlam post show, he'll say that was one of the best matches of the card.
Who, me?
I don't think I said that.
Go back and listen.
No, you go back and listen. I'm not going back and listening. Ziggler versus Sheamus, kiss me arse match.
Wait, can I say one more thing about the Divas match?
Go ahead.
I like Naomi's new look and her new music and her shoes.
Yeah, her shoes were working on Raw. No,
I want a pair of those shoes.
More over than the fucking match.
Hell yeah, it did.
She looked better on Raw than she did at the pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
That black-on-black was just not that good.
Black-on-black. Ziggler versus Sheamus, kiss me arse match. DV had Sheamus. Heavy Set had Sheamus. Bio, Mop, DRG, Ant, AA all had Sheamus. The only one that had Ziggler was Katie, the first lady. Katie, why did you pick Ziggler?
Just because.
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to say
that.
Well,
he ended up getting... just because he ended up on the losing end anyway. But I figured that would be the best. That was the perfect way to keep Sheamus as a heel.
Because
he was, I didn't think anybody was kissing anybody's butt, like voluntarily.
Okay.
Like he was just going to get back at him anyway. And he did. He gave him a low blow and he forced him.
All right. Much better answer than just because. Okay. The Mountie, what's your, did you like this match? Not like this match?
You know, I this fucking Sheamus thing, I told you the first week you got to shave that beard. And I understand why he's doing it. It's to piss people off, but he's legit pissing me off.
Dude, I like
and
it.
I mean, I knew what was going to happen the second. There's no way he's going to actually kiss his ass.
I love it.
But love to it. Me, it's like, I want retribution for Ziggler, man. Like, I want Triple H to come out and say, you got to blow every guy in the fucking car. You got to blow Darren Young taking the face or something, man. Like, you gotta fucking... I want some retribution, man. He's gotta... Nope. Like, the mark in me got so pissed off. I had to catch myself at one point.
Gotta wait for payback, buddy. Gotta wait for payback.
That reminds me, since I missed the first part of Raw, like, literally it was the first half of that, first hour and a half, was Primetime Players on Raw?
No.
No.
Boo.
That would have been perfect.
It would have been perfect.
Move, get it.
that's my improve right there.
Then we have Dean versus Luke. So Dean versus Luke Harper street fight. That was actually the first match on the card where DV, Katie, Biohazard, wasn't it? I can hear Zool.
On the actual card, yeah, that was
it
right.
Was the first match on the card, the actual card.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The longest match, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it lasted 56 minutes.
DV, Katie, Bio, Mop, DRG, Ants, and AA all had Dean Ambrose. Heavy set had Luke. Heavy, why did you pick Luke Harper?
Because
actually, I stated on the show. I said on the other prediction show was because fucking Ambrose has lost like so many matches. Mm-hmm. I was going, I'm going with the trend.
Right.
DRG said he was going against the trend.
So was everybody else. Mountie, what'd you think about this match, man?
Fuck, they wasted such a good opportunity to go all around Chicago and have like street fight in a bar, go to Wrigley Field, fuck, and just like that's where I thought it was going, not driving out and driving back in.
No,
that
cool.
Seemed like such a waste.
It would have been a little, so good.
A little GoPro in the back seat.
Camera in the truck and then just fight in the truck.
That's all they had to do was put one cameraman in the third row of that fucking whatever Suburban or whatever they had with the camera, a small camera in there, and then they just film it all night, then beating each other up all around Chicago. It would have been fantastic.
You even have like a YouTube live stream of them fucking going to different venues and stuff. So if you want to follow that match the whole time, you know?
And I know how big of a fucking fan Dean Ambrose is of Roddy Piper, and I know he was trying to, you know, recreate that in some way, shape, or form as much as he could. They could have at least went backstage, or at least in the alley next to the arena, and beat up on each other with some dumpsters or something.
But they've already got the equipment there with that second screen thing. Dude, that'd have been perfect.
Oh my God, Mop, you are so right, dude. That's the best of the week right there.
They went to Colt Cabana's house to record Art of Wrestling.
That'd have been great. If they would have said, hey, if you guys want to see this match while that takes place, turn on your phones to second screen experience. Oh my God. They would have had a million people fucking turn their shits to the second screen experience.
It would have been funny if they ran into Punk at some point.
Honestly, the only problem with that is you take away viewers from the actual pay-per-view.
But who cares?
You're turning against yourself.
Well, then you start doing like little screens in the corner.
And then you're also telling you want these wrestlers to work for like an hour straight, go out and do all this stuff. And
not an hour, 3 hours.
Well, yeah, 3 hour match. Wrestler tell you fuck do yourself. It. Why
not? I'm saying is that it could have been unique, it could have been different, and it could have been new, and it would have been great. At least for that one pay-per-view, it would have been really good.
They went and got a cheeseburger.
Great. Something. You had a good idea, but guess what? It's not plausible.
No, Mop had a good idea, not me.
Mop, you had a good idea, but guess what? It's not plausible.
I said that. Yeah, it's taken away from the regular show, but whatever. Still would have been kind of cool.
We have Reigns versus Big Show. Everyone picked Reigns. Everyone was right. The Mountie.
I finally got one right.
You got one right.
Whoop, whoop.
The Mountie, what did you think about this Reigns versus Big Show match?
The only good thing about the match was Big Show's overreactions to selling, especially when he went on the ropes, his face like, like that. Like, that was the only good part of that fucking match for me. Sorry.
You didn't like any of it?
No, it was not. He needs, the fans got it right the first week of Raw. He's too slow. He needs to retire. End of story.
Oh, I thought he played into that perfectly in that match, though. Yep,
I agree. I thought he did. I thought him and Reigns both played very well into that match. I thought the tipping of the table was a little cheesy, but still really good. The table stayed together, so that was awesome.
I like Reigns selling during that match.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you want me to get into that match, you throw Big Show into those two tables. That'll get me into that fucking match.
I don't think Big Show could take that bump.
Yeah, that's...
Wow. Heavy set laying down, guys.
No, actually, not laying down. That was just a yawn.
Then we have Cena versus Rusev, U.S. title for the chain match, the Russian chain match, which was my letdown on the pay-per-view because it honestly wasn't as ruthless as I wanted it to be. I really wanted it to be a good chain match because I enjoy chain matches. Just like Heavy and I talked about on the actual pay-per-view, everyone got Cena except for Mop and Double A, which picked Rusev. They were wrong. Cena won. And it just wasn't as good as I thought it was. The Mountie.
Yeah, this is a match, unfortunately, does not do well during the reality era. You need color in this match for it to be interesting. But I thought the finish was okay. But it's just not good for the timing right now. And it sucks that Rusev is turning into a job squad guy.
He is. He's about to, again, a payback because, never give up. John Cena ain't giving up.
There's no way he's going to give up.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not to Rusev.
Does, holy shit.
If he does, it's amazing. But it's not going to happen. Nice job. Beat your dick somewhere else.
Where they have Lana throw in a towel or something.
I've heard that too. And that actually sounds like a good idea. Because it when Lana come out, remember, she was like smiling and waving to the fans. That's what that's leading to.
Yeah, they're about to break up. John Cena's about to get some of that poontang.
Which I'm not 100% fan of that. It's because you actually have a real life couple and you just want to turn one phase.
You had a real life couple.
No, they broke up?
No, I'm calling it. They're breaking up.
Oh, okay.
Are you calling them breaking up on TV or breaking up in real world?
Breaking up on TV 6 months later, breaking up in real life. Put in the red book.
Yeah, I was about to say, put it in your red book, motherfucker.
Look,
I have a shot.
Saying anybody's got a shot.
Anybody's
at this
point. Lana's hot.
You have about as good a shot as my pet rock.
One word.
Want to push Lana and Eva Marie as the next?
No. I think all of you are wrong. I don't think anybody's pushing Lana. I think Lana's getting over because she's a beautiful blonde woman.
Was the article from last week. They're going to push Lana because she's getting over with the fans.
Exactly.
Because she's getting over and because she's acting in a movie. A WWE movie.
Yep. Welcome to Neville's new manager, guys. That's all I'm saying.
I just want to see the tag team that I've wanted to see for a while. Lana Omi. No, wait a minute. Lana Naomi. Or anal. However, I had it was anal moan backwards.
Heavy set failing on words this week. And then we have Rollins versus Randy Orton in a steel cage match for the WWE title with Kane watching the fucking door, I guess.
He was the crypt keeper.
Everyone picked Rollins. Everyone was right around the board. The Mountie, what did you pick and why did you like or dislike this match?
I picked, I went with the group in this case. The overbooking saw it coming a mile away for obvious reasons. Fucking J&J, there's
he
no
just,
way.
He just
it
got
was
his
it,
shit,
was it
dude.
The cage was small. It was like short.
Same size as the...
Yeah, it's that cage. I don't like that cage.
Those two are tall, man. Those two are like 6'2".
Yeah, I think somebody on Twitter said it's the best. The steel cage showing how a guy who does CrossFit takes 5 minutes to get over one side of the cage. Like, that's perfect. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, you're right.
Like I understand you got to suspend disbelief. It was what it was. And but in terms of the match, it's probably my favorite of the night. It held up as a good main event.
Favorite of the night, really?
Yep, I would say my favorite of the night. Yep. All
right. Heavy set, what'd you think about this match? Or what was your favorite of the night?
Well, my favorite of the night, like I said on the end of the episode, was chain match.
Chain match, okay. All right.
And the title match, it's what I expected it to be. Yeah. It's when you have a guy who becomes champion, you're like, okay, he's going to win the next X amount of pay-per-views, and you look at this one, you're like, okay, this is the win to make him look good.
All right.
And Rollins continues to look like such a D-bag. It's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till he turns face and everyone is just like, yes, I love Rollins. Rollins is the greatest ever. And like, we're like, 6 weeks ago, you were like, he's the shittiest person ever.
We said that 2 years ago that he was great. What are you talking
about? Exactly.
I still like how Kane is in this role of still being conflicted and sort of hating on Rollins, but still doing his job.
What'd you guys think about that diving, that suicide dive he did and actually hit the ground?
Completely missed everybody. Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
Kane was supposed to catch him and missed him.
Yeah, he kind of got a little bit of an arm on him.
A bump. Yeah, a little bit of a...
Shit. He didn't catch
Was that on Raw?
Yeah, it was on Raw.
Because I fell asleep.
Yeah, of course you did. Yes, that was on Raw. It was great. It was like Seth Rollins just like hit the ground. He's like, what the fuck just happened? He like bounced up. He's like, what the fuck? I don't know what just happened to me. It's great. Bio, favorite match of the night?
See, I liked Neville versus Barrett. That was a hard-hitting, fast-paced match, a match that wasn't supposed to happen at all, and it was one of the most athletic matches of the night.
I would agree. I still really enjoyed the tag team match, and then I would say the Reigns and Big Show really impressed me, but the street fight I liked. I didn't like the end of the street fight. The beginning of the street fight was awesome. The end of the street fight I didn't like. The Reigns and Big Show, I think, has to take it for me. I really do believe the Reigns and Big Show has to take it. Katie?
Yeah, that's my favorite, too. I think that's the best match they've had together. And, yeah, I enjoyed it. The main event was good, too. I mean, it was a decent show overall. I mean, they had good moments.
I'd agree. All right, guys, so this is standings. We'll be updated on www.dsjnp.com. Devil Vamp DV has 5. Heavyset has 3. Katie, the First Lady, has 6. Biohazard has 4, Mop has 4, DRG has 5, and AA has 5. So once again, Katie starts out the pay-per-view season with the leading score, and that ends up normally, well, from last year, bad for Katie.
Well,
hate to say that, Katie, but it does.
So I'm looking up after this.
Yep. Now, there's one thing I do want to ask you guys. We didn't see it. We saw an SKO, not an RKO, on the pay-per-view. But I got something from AA in GroupMe. It says one of the guy from the radio direct messaged me a question for him to be up to date when he was talking to Seth. And this is what he said. I said, I figured my go-to guy was wrestling questions. Did WWE ban the curb stomp? And can you explain the DDT that Seth did against Ziggler? When I have heard is they have not banned the curb stomp. This is the answer they got from somebody. I don't know. I don't even know who it is, actually. The curb stomp, but they have highly suggested not to use it, a.k.a. yes, they banned it. The last time he used it as a finisher, that was his own. Yes, someone kind of mixed of a DDT and pedigree. FYI, I just sent an email with a picture of a sign I made with my boy. Oh, that was AA saying some shit. I don't know. But yeah, so essentially they didn't really
ban it.
Yeah, they kind of frown upon it. So I'm guessing he's going to use it in very, very special occasions. And that's pretty much it for the curb stomp, guys. What do you guys think about that? Heavyset? The Mountie.
Yeah.
I was on mute.
Oh, sorry. Heavyset.
It is what it is. It's very similar to the Tombstone. Tombstone is in the Power Driver is a move that you are not really allowed to use anymore because of the accidents that have happened through the years.
Only on special occasions.
But, well, yes, because they let a guy like The Undertaker dust it off every so once in a while, or rarely you will see a wrestler use it on a special occasion. I think it's the exact same thing with the curb stomp. They have to get rid of it because the more you know in wrestling, it actually doesn't help you in this situation. You look at it from an outsider's point of view. If you don't know wrestling and you look in just because it's called a curb stomp and what he's doing, you're like, oh my god, that's bad. Oh, we got all these lawsuits going on for concussions and all this stuff, all these wrestlers doing, well, that's why they're doing it, because we got all these blah blah blah. Granted, there's more dangerous moves that don't look as bad, so they're taking it out of his arsenal for right now. Maybe he'll bring it back every so once in a while, a very, very rare special occasion.
Yeah, I see him using it against Brock Lesnar at some point or another if he has to face Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah, you use it. And that's also would be a big thing if he turns – or not if, when he turns face.
Be huge.
All of a sudden, someone's in that prone position, and he just looks around, and the place will go fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mountie, curb stomp.
Yeah, I agree with Heavy Set in this case. It's not a dangerous move to take from what I'm seeing. It's just bad timing with the concussions of the NFL.
Mob Jockey.
Yeah, the concussions, and you don't want kids doing it to each other. Yeah, that it is what it is.
Katie, the first lady.
Bitch.
I agree. It's keep it like special occasions. I mean, I don't know. I like his new finisher. It didn't come off really well the first time he used it.
Yeah,
but
it didn't.
I don't know.
It was a quick thing. It was a quick thing against Ziggler. So,
and I'm pretty sure he's talented enough to come up. If that one's not going to work, he'll come up with another one.
Yeah. Biohazard.
Yeah, I'm just going to completely agree with the panel here. Just leave it special occasion.
Right.
It was one of my favorite finishers, but if you also watch, some people aren't selling it like they're supposed to, or they're not blocking like they're supposed to. Ziggler would put his hand out. Brock Lesnar headbutts the fucking mat. So
yeah,
I think they're just trying to... Go ahead.
Because Brock Lesnar. That's...
Brock Lesnar. He's not the only one doing it, though. Like,
it's true. It's true.
John Cena, although I hated when John Cena took the curb stomp, but... John Cena put his hand up, catch himself.
He did.
If you watch him, he's stomping on their upper shoulder, not their actual head, depending on the situation. But Brock Lesnar took it with his face. And so they're essentially just trying to stop concussions and make it where kids aren't doing it to each other.
I'm pretty sure you could say that about every move with Brock Lesnar. He takes it with his face.
All right, guys. We're going to move into Biohazard's news dump. Biohazard, what you got for us this week, man?
We always skip the email.
We have one email we're going to do after you.
All right, we're good.
And Double A is at fucking SmackDown right now promoting the show. Let's move on. We got an email from DRG.
Did he actually make a sign?
Yes, he actually made a sign. It's in GroupMe. Look at it. Look at it when you get a chance.
I'll have to get on there in a little while. Yeah.
He said it got confiscated.
No, he did not. Did he really?
There actually was a point in time where you couldn't have... It was either at or a hashtag on your signs. I can't remember which one. If they found out you were going to get it confiscated. Because I heard that story from someone else who tried to bring a sign.
It's still funny. Anyway, let's get started here. WWE has pulled Daniel Bryan from all advertised appearance all the way through June, considering his health.
Yeah.
I'm here in 5 weeks minimum, so that would make sense.
He's going to get the title stripped from him.
About, I mean, he kind of had, well, there's only 3 weeks, so they may not, but it's getting to be, you may have to.
I mean, I know he got hit in the head on SmackDown. I mean, I know he had stitches and all that stuff, because I saw the stitches on Twitter and WWE YouTube or whatever, but, I mean, come on, man.
What I read was, he got hurt or banged up, and then went on the tour and got banged up some more, so they just pulled him off.
He just needs to be pulled from... From dark shows. From dark
just
matches.
Needs a Z-pack. He'd be fine.
Yeah, we'll get into him in a minute. Go ahead, Bio.
I'm not talking about CM Punk and his
WWE
is fake comment. He said it a million times before.
Better.
It's like he said it before. It's not like it's news. It just happened to pop up again. So it's not really news.
The only thing that of that article that I read that is newsworthy is he has officially denied the rumors that AJ is pregnant.
Yes.
Katie, let me ask you one real quick. How does that make you feel?
It makes her feel like wrestling just isn't wrestling anymore. Because
Katie,
it's fake.
Katie, how does that make you feel?
Yes, what is it? What?
How does that make you feel? Stop yelling at
what
me.
Was the question?
How does that make you feel, that CM Punk?
I have no opinion on that. I mean, he says wrestling is fake and stuff like that. It's not like it's not true or anything. I mean, he does sound a little bit bitter, but...
A little bit?
Dang, you don't got to get hot about it.
She's pretty mad about it, dog.
To be a former wrestler like him and be in the business for as long as he had and to claim all the passion that he had of it, to just come out and say, oh, wrestling's fake, you are shitting on the industry.
Dude. It's pretty shitty.
I mean, that's kind of shit's fucked up. You don't hear that from a lot of wrestlers. I don't even think Brock Lesnar uttered those words.
No.
Nah.
No.
Two words. Fuck
he's
you.
He's so bitter about it. It's just going to take
words.
A while.
Sports.
It's just going to take a while, Katie? Is that what you said?
It's going to take a while. I mean, he's still bitter about it. He's obviously still angry with everything. So,
well,
whatever.
He's not too angry spending that fucking money he made off of all of us.
That's what I'm saying. This is my thing. Like, I never bought a CM Punk shirt. I bought the CM Punk DVD. I'll say that.
I bought 6 CM Punk shirts.
I didn't buy any CM Punk shirts. I didn't buy any CM Punk DVDs. I didn't buy any CM Punk Comic Con meet and greets. Nope, none of that.
If you didn't say it, Bio, like I bought six CM Punk shirts. If you didn't say it like that, I wouldn't have laughed. But you did say it like that, so that's why I laughed. Because you bought six CM Punk shirts, and now you feel like you're betrayed, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
You don't feel like you're betrayed?
Not at all.
I don't think I've worn a CM Punk shirt since he left.
How do you feel?
Or at least not since the WrestleMania after.
How do you feel? How do you two, and I'm going to say you two, not feel betrayed by the one wrestler that you guys like the most?
He wasn't happy with what he was doing.
Okay.
And he got out.
Okay.
And that would be fine if that would have been fine if the story ended there.
Exactly.
But it didn't.
Think about it. If you were in his position and you were not necessarily a wrestler, but you're screwed over at your job, you're gonna feel bitter too.
Whoa
and you're gonna speak about it.
Whoa.
It's just Biohazard's quitting his job.
Yeah, Biohazard's about to quit his job. Whoa, wait a minute. He felt like he was screwed at his job. That doesn't mean he was actually screwed at his job. Okay?
It doesn't. It's not necessarily what actually happened. It's how he felt.
Yes.
If you feel like you're getting screwed over, you're going to say something about it. And if you're still going to feel bitter after the fact. It's not necessarily we shouldn't sit here and criticize for what he's saying. Yeah, we might not agree with it. Or go ahead.
No, I'm like, why shouldn't we criticize for what he's saying? That's what he's saying.
It's like, it's one of those, if you were in his position in the place where you work, everybody on this call, and you just felt like you were getting screwed over, you would feel bitter. It doesn't matter how long it's been.
All right,
it's
only been. Let me break this down for a second, okay? I'm the owner of DSJNP, right?
Okay.
I don't think I'm in the position I should be in. I think that we should be scattered around the world. Hundreds of millions of people should be listening to us every week, right?
Correct.
Okay. Granted, there is no man screwing me over, but that doesn't give me the right to say whatever I want to say and do whatever I want to do just because I feel slighted, the fact that people aren't listening to me or whatever. What I'm going to do, what I'm going to do, which is what I always do, is focus on what I'm doing and not worry about what anybody else is doing.
He is still worried
about what they're doing and not worried about what he's doing.
People keep asking him about wrestling and how he feels and would he ever come back. He doesn't want to talk about that. They keep bringing it up to him. And
he doesn't want to talk about the thing that made him millions and millions of fucking dollars. Oh,
He's focused on doing the UFC stuff.
He commented on it and he's focused on it.
It's because he's at a Q&A and somebody asked him about wrestling.
Here's the thing.
Wrestling. That's what he's known for. He's not known for being in the UFC yet. He's known for wrestling. It's what he's done for fucking 15, 20 years.
The comment stemmed from, they said, will you come back? And he said, no, I don't want to come back. He said, once I felt, I'm trying to remember the quote.
I think nobody really in this is in the right. When you take sides, really, you're still siding with someone who did something wrong one way or another. And it's best if they would have just both moved on and that was that. If CM Punk would have said, you know, like after all, hey, this was going on, blah, 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 I want to leave. And WWE just would have said, you know what? Okay, fine. You did a lot for the company. You know, we'll grant you your release. You know, thanks for everything. And like, if CM Punk would have acknowledged everything on Twitter right after that, if they would have did that, this would have been a whole different situation. And then you have the fans who want to cling to everything. I mean, granted, it's the IWC in general. If Batista, when he left and started doing movies, and let's say he started doing Q&As with like a short amount of time because of movies, and he would still get questions about wrestling. Let's say he was bitter about it. It's just no different.
The problem is there's no internet darling right now to take over from him and the product currently. Once Kevin Owens comes up, nobody's going to be talking about CM Punk.
I think absolutely, one of the problems is too right. is there's too many people out there in the world. I can give you two examples off the top of my head. Like CM Punk was their favorite wrestler, and then after CM Punk left, they started not feeling anymore, which I like CM Punk. He was definitely in my top list, but my top number one of anybody who's known me is Dolph Ziggler. If Dolph Ziggler were to retire, quit, whatever, tomorrow, and let's say he quit. Let's say he said, you know what, I'm going to go do comedy now because I really love stand-up comedy and, you know, it's something I really want to do. Fine, great. I love you, Dolph. Wish you the best. I'm not going to feel lost. I'm going to go, okay, who's my second favorite wrestler? Oh, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens. All right, he's moving on up. And there's always these wrestlers that I have in mind that, granted, they may not be my number one at the time, but through time, like, wrestlers retire and all this kind of stuff, and they kind of move up. So
you think that's what happened with the Stone Cold fans? They just slowly, gradually faded away? And that's,
well, you had, it was like people, if I don't think people just like Austin, it was like Austin and The Rock. Those are like definitely the top two.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they went away and all this stuff, and I always thought one thing that actually killed WWE, and not a lot of people agree with me, but it was the rise in popularity of the UFC. I have friends who, you know, watched wrestling for years, and then eventually they got into UFC, and then they started looking down on wrestling, and I'm like, well, and like they'd always say, like, you know, how it was fake and everything. I'm like, well, you didn't know it was fake before? I knew as a young kid, my dad, like, almost like telling me, like, Santa wasn't real. He told me at a very young age, saying, hey, you know, this is wrestling, and, you know, pointed out all the things that were planned about it, scripted about it. Like, for example, I remember first noticing how, like, sometimes when they punch somebody in the head, they put their hand in the way, and they actually just hit their own hand.
Yeah.
And, like, we'd always point that kind of stuff shit out. So when, yeah, I'm going off a different tangent there, but anyway.
All right, Mop, last word on this.
On CM Punk?
Yeah, what's your last word on this?
Fuck you.
I like how we said we weren't going to talk about CM Punk. But
I know. Mounty, what's your last word on this?
I agree with that. I mean, he's in UFC now. Why are you shitting on fans that are going to buy your pay-per-view to watch you get your ass kicked? When you want to support that fan base, at least for one fight?
At least for one.
Yeah, you don't think the Corey Graves thing showing the Thor cartoon wasn't a shot at Punk?
Oh, I know it was. Absolutely know it was. Katie, the First Lady, what is your last word on this?
I'll just leave the last word to you guys, because
Katie, you're a Punk fan. Say what you want to say.
What he's going to say, things coming out of his mouth that people are going to hate everyone. I'm a Punk fan, but like, it's just whatever, you know? A lot of stuff he says doesn't really bother me, because to some extent, they're kind of true, but that's his own opinion, and that's how he felt. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
Give it 2 years, she'll be an Owens fan.
She probably is. I mean, Katie, are you a Kevin Owens fan now?
I am a fan. Yeah. I've been a fan of his ever since he came on NXT.
She's already a Kevin Owens fan.
Question for you, Katie. You know, this is turning into like Katie question hour. Who, besides Punk, is like your favorite wrestler of all time? Or is someone else besides Punk your favorite wrestler of all time?
Well, my favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels, because I grew up watching him. And I was a big Rock fan. I was a big Stone Cold fan. No, those kind of guys. Attitude Era was my big thing.
Did you start there, Katie, or did you start before that?
My first wrestling was probably when I was like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing I saw was WrestleMania 5.
Okay.
And then I was on from then on.
Okay. All right.
I was just asking because, I mean, you got some of those people out there, like Guy, I'll use example, who a lot of us know, FTW, Shane. One of his favorite wrestlers of all time, or at least of so many years, was CM Punk. And I know when he left, that really left a big dent. And I was just curious where you said whether labeled him, huh?
I said that totally explains him, yeah.
But it's just whether, like for Katie, whether, because great, you're a big CM Punk fan, but you're not really waved by it or everything. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Bio, last word on this.
He, like Katie said, he's going to say what he wants. Not a lot of people are going to agree with it. Like she said earlier as well, he doesn't necessarily want to talk about wrestling because of how he felt and how he felt he was treated. And it's the fans going, will you ever come back? Will you ever come back? And he's addressing it the way he feels like he should answer it. And there's things said sometimes from other people we don't like, but that's their opinion. And we're just going to have to leave it at that.
Good. Yeah, and we've had that argument about opinions on this show before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, million times.
Millions of times. All right, Bio, what's next in the dump?
That was a long-ass topic about something we weren't going to talk about.
We couldn't talk about it because we'll never stop.
Well, we stopped. We're good. Everyone's fine.
Angelina Love got engaged. How about that?
Oh,
to what, a sandwich?
I'm sorry, Heavy.
I think it's one of the wolves. I don't remember which one it is.
That makes a lot of sense now.
Anything else other than the fact that Angelina Love got engaged? How about
Angelina Love to
three TNA things?
Yeah, she got engaged to David Richards.
All right, give us an update on Jeff Hardy.
Go ahead, Heavy, because this isn't on mine for some reason.
Are you on Twitter? Search.
Yeah, DRG just
Carter tweeted about it.
Yeah, DRG just tweeted me the fucking video of it.
Yeah, he texted me about it. I'll teach you this biohazard. Don't always go to dirt sheets. Almost learned, not even just dirt sheets, just news wise.
You guys
if
ready?
If you want to know something that happened, go to Twitter, type it in, retweets about it, because there will be tweets about it before there's an article about it.
Okay, 25 seconds. Here you go, guys. He's coming around to a stunt jump. He just did a turn. Coming around. Going up to the huge ramp. Huge ramp. Oh, that's not good.
Good.
That wasn't good. He tried to do a double jump over a ramp and he hit mid ramp and he broke his leg.
Dang. That sucks.
Let's get this right. He takes dives off the top of the cages, takes a spear off the fucking hanging from the
belt. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's he breaks his leg on a fucking dirt bike.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Everyone, you got to have that gravity.
He's a better wrestler than a better dirt bike.
Gravity right, time.
That's the man that gravity didn't forget.
Yep. I was just getting ready to say that. Fuck you.
Gravity times force equals broken something. All right. Anything else, Bio, from TNA?
Hector Guerrero has decided to leave TNA. He was the Spanish commentator for many years.
Oh, sadly missed. Anything else from TNA?
Let me say one more thing on the Hardy. TNA was planning a tour of China where Jeff Hardy was featured.
Bye-bye.
I wonder if that changes it.
That changes.
Definitely, man.
No, I wonder if the tour changes because no Jeff Hardy.
Oh. I doubt it.
That's a big fucking name.
No, they'll probably try to find a way to someone to fill in his spot, but at the same time offer refunds.
Can we talk about the one thing that everyone else does know about TNA?
No, let's skip it. Let's find something else.
Let's skip it. All right, let's skip it.
I'm just kidding.
Pio, let's go.
The fact that Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins is on the TNA creative team.
Yes. What do you think about that, Pio? You're the TNA expert on the panel today.
I'm going to wait and see on this one because he owned his own wrestling company for like a half a minute.
Doesn't he still own it?
I don't know.
He still owns it.
No, he don't.
He doesn't?
Oh, did he sell it finally?
It's gone.
He announced a while back that he was no longer affiliated with him.
Ah, okay. So he sold it to somebody.
Sold it, or I don't know exactly what happened, but he did say he was no longer affiliated with
him. Okay, so then now Billy Corgan is now being the head writer.
No, he's just on the creative team.
On the creative team, okay.
I heard it, not necessarily the head writer, but he's in not just a writer, but it's like he's in a high position in it.
Yeah, he was. It was something about head production, creative, something else is what he was.
I'm going to honestly say this. This makes me want to watch TNA. I'm a huge fan of Billy Corgan.
You still got a couple of months before his episodes are going to air.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm going to wait.
I think hell just froze over a little bit.
I am. I'm a huge fan of Billy Corgan. I love the Smashing Pumpkins. I have a couple other CDs, as old as that is.
They're overrated.
They're on my phone. Okay, well, that's musically, that's how you feel.
That's your opinion.
It's your opinion. You know what? How you feel.
Tonight, I'm going to download an episode of TNA.
No, you're not. Shut up, Matty.
Actually, the last like 3 weeks have actually not been bad.
So I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna see what it's all about. You got like 2 months before he starts. I got some time. Bio, let me know when he shows up in the credits. That's all I'm saying.
All right,
and I'll start watching. DOG is like pulling his if he had.
He has zero interest in watching it.
If DOG had hair, he would be pulling it out right now. Just saying. What else you got on your dump, Bio?
Eric Bischoff is to be affiliated with Global Force Wrestling.
What?
Yep.
Yet another reason not to watch it.
I want America fuck yeah, like Captain Awesome says. American fuck yeah,
championship wrestling.
And they gotta oversell like the hip fucking country thing.
Well, they just got
totally buy it.
They just got closer to it with fucking Eric Bischoff affiliated with it. Anything else, Bio?
I'm sad to announce the passing of legendary AWA wrestling promoter Vern Gagne.
Absolutely, let's take a moment of silence for that. Which, now that I thought about it, will just be
I was waiting for that because I'm like, you know, you're taking out of the silence. So let's have a moment of silence. Okay, now that that's done, we're
good. That'll be cut out of the show. Let me. I have to say, I do respect Vern Gagne.
Do you want to edit it in a bell
some
salute?
Of the best wrestlers I'm doing right in the now. World.
I think for the fans of the who started in the 80s, that one of his biggest things he did was for Hulkamania, actually. And if you, I remember Hulk mentioning this on his when he did like a live show, that like the no selling and the leg drop and the hulking up was all Gagne. Like, we wouldn't have Hulkamania if he didn't go to the AWA and develop that character.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, God, the list of the AWA people that made it in the WWF is just so long.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He trained Ric Flair. He trained Ricky Steamboat, yep. Sergeant Slaughter.
AWA was the first ROH.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Pretty much.
Gabe Sapolsky, this is your future.
Anyway, moving on.
Go ahead.
Got anything else?
WWE.
Rest in peace, Vern Gagne.
Yes. Rest in peace or pieces. WWE is shocked to hear Dana White say that Ronda Rousey is not allowed to wrestle a match for the WWE.
Oh, this is fucked up.
How is this news? They've been talking like he has said this weeks ago.
It just got to the WWE.
It just got out because he said it on the he actually said it on the the UFC stream, the UFC subscription based thing.
I believe it was the Fight Network.
Fight Network. That's what it was. Fight Pass. Fight Network. Whichever one you're saying.
Fight Network actually said, is a channel.
I read it. Fuck. I even liked it on my Facebook page. I'm surprised you didn't see it, Heavy. He actually said, like, is there any chance of Ronda Rousey ever in the wrestling ring with WWE? Again, nope.
It was a one and done.
It was a one and done. Nope. One and done. Nope. Literally, he's like, nope. He's like, no.
I say yes to no thing. He's saying no while she's under contract. Mm-hmm. Now
he's also saying no before any dollar figures have been thrown at him.
Yeah.
I think if you are Dana White and literally. She is your top fighter, not just women, your top fighter.
She is.
You are going to guard her. And, oh, yeah, we want to do this. No, you're not.
Yep.
When she gets out of contract, that'll be a different story.
She is his top fighter. She brings more pay-per-view views than any other male fighter right now.
I didn't say like it wasn't a fact. I know that's a fact.
No. I was agreeing with you.
There was no doubt about it. That's your top fighter. That's your biggest star. So, especially when a lot of your bigger male stars have left. Yeah. And she, I think if I were to equivalent her to anybody, she is the MMA equivalent to Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Someone who's undefeated and just has this hype around them. Until she gets beat by Jessica Evely, but that's a different story.
Mounty, the Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right, Matt. I think she has some place for in WWE. Eventually, I don't know what her contract looks like, but I know just with the fan reaction that people want to see it. And if Brock Lesnar is any indication of that kind of that UFC style working in WWE, Ronda Rousey would be perfect for that Divas division. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Oh, her and Charlotte would be awesome together. Anything else, Pyle?
Just two more.
Okay.
This one, Goldberg says he's making a comeback.
Next!
Yes,
back
please.
To wrestling.
Back to wrestling. Goldberg's making a comeback to wrestling?
I believe he also said it was not going to be for WWE. Yeah.
That is
Goldberg will never make it back to WWE.
If he shows up in TNA, I'll stop watching TNA completely.
Oh, I hope.
He'll show up the first week Billy Corgan shows up.
Dear
on the
God, credits. If there's a God above, please have...
There's nobody
Goldberg
else that can afford to have him in a ring.
And TNA, please, just for DRG and Bio, please.
What if he wrestles in Japan? They can afford him.
Yeah, of course they can.
Yeah, Japan maybe, but do they even want him over there?
He's always over there.
Vader made a big name for himself over there.
Vader actually liked what he was doing and could wrestle.
Well, I was actually going to say Vader actually had a very credible reputation before going over there. He just went over there for shits and giggles.
Yeah,
made himself a name. Anything? Last one, Bio.
I believe this one was mentioned before, but I'm going to say it again. Samoa Joe is expected to debut in the WWE within the next month or so.
Yep.
By June.
Yep. We're
in NXT.
Yeah. We're guessing he's going to debut on, May 29th? Is it the next NXT
said the NXT special is when you and I said that we think he's going to debut.
Yes.
The live special.
When's the next NXT special?
29th,
it's
I think.
I think it's the mid to end of May.
Hang on, let me look at May real quick.
I will say this.
26th of May. Oh, shit. 28th of May, after I hung up on everybody. Go ahead, Heavy.
Samoa Joe does have a booking on Saturday, May 23rd, which is in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's Thursday. Nope, sorry.
Saturday, it's supposed to be May the 26th.
Yeah, 26th of May is a Tuesday of May, and then the Saturday is 23rd.
They wouldn't have a special on Tuesday.
All their specials are on Tuesday.
No, they're on Wednesday.
Wednesday, sorry. 27th of Wednesday. 27th.
We do a special show on Wednesday.
Yes, 27th and Wednesday will be NXT. So that's very possible that he's going to debut on May 27th.
That's not giving a lot of time.
No, but, you know, I mean, wrestlers are... That's giving him the 24th, 25th, 26th to get there. And the 27th to debut, that's a lot of time, and man.
He may not He may not...
Well, I'm talking about getting moved and getting situated. And
oh,
then
he's probably already moved.
I wasn't talking about moved. No, he's probably already moved.
JR, I know you guys don't like hearing about JR, mm-hmm. but JR said that when they were doing the NXT tapings... For this couple weeks leading into the special, Samoa Joe was there talking to Triple H.
I'm just saying. Okay.
Now, that's not to say he doesn't like just show up and say, "Hey, I'm here now." Blah blah blah. Announce his name, whatever.
It's not,
and then off. But
that's not the NXT gimmick, man. You know that Rhino really? Show. Rhino really? Showed up.
Hold on.
Kenta.
Hold on. The live special is May 20th.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so he's not going to debut. It's on Monday? No.
No, that can't be right.
It's on Wednesday. I apologize. It's on Wednesday, not the
20th. I just said the 23rd was a Saturday.
It kept bringing me back to April. So it's the 20th, not the 27th.
Correct.
All right. So.
At least that's what this
we'll be doing
says.
A live NXT talk on the 20th of April. I mean, but 20th of May.
They're doing tapings. They're doing tapings the 21st. For a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then they're doing tapings again June 18th.
Wow, that's a big gap.
They're normally a month or so gap.
Yeah, that's about right. Wow. Okay.
So we could see them debut that week of the 18th or the day of the 18th on one of those episodes.
All right. I'm down for that. All right, guys, let's go ahead.
I was going to say, if he's not signing till June, he might not debut until August when the next live special is.
I hope not.
Like, make it the actual...
Actually, if they do, I agree with more with August, because that's when everything is finally hits the Brock bottom after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I could see them signing him mid-June, because they did it with Kevin Owens, too. It was like a month or so before he was actually on the TV show. So,
all right, let's get into a DOG.
Yeah, feel those positive vibes. After a week of ranting on the IWC, I'm back, Mr. DRG, speaking with the WrestleCast panel on the DSJP, hoping to talk to my boy Heavy and maybe a little bit of TNA with Biohazard and KD, while the MOP is telling Vamp to go grab his wubby, because I'm foggy in my head like my name was Jeff Hardy. Rhyming for no reason. But seriously, guys, got to ask you a question. Who has the best ring attire in wrestling right now?
Who's the best ring attire in wrestling right now? Heavy set.
I listened to this call earlier. Actually, I only got to this question. I don't remember anything after that. I cannot think of anybody like where I'm thinking like, oh my god, these guys have the greatest attire. Normally, I think people have like the greatest special attire, but like a constant attire, I don't know. Maybe, like, I don't have a fashion sense to where I go, like, oh, my God, that's a great attire.
DeMounty, with your fashion sense, what is the best ring attire ever? Right now.
Ever is the Yeti suit.
But right now.
Not Minotaur?
Right. Minotaur, yeah.
I was going to say Minotaur.
Right now, what is the best fashion coming to the ring right now?
That is the worst French accent ever.
Shut up, Matt. Shut up, the mob jockey.
It's almost worse than that Scottish one you did.
No, it wasn't Scottish. It was Irish.
Yeah. Oh, was that supposed to be Irish?
Yeah, Dermot is laughing right now. Dermot is laughing so hard right now.
For the record, I mean, I don't think he sent us an email ever since. So.
I don't think he has either.
If you want colorful, fucking Lucha Dragons, I guess. I don't know. Off the top of my head, that's the only thing I can think of.
Mob jogging.
You don't like Stardust.
I dig what Luke Harper wears.
Of course. Does he legit wash that shirt? Or
no,
is he fucking...
no, he doesn't wash that. No,
it just but it fits no. him though. I mean, it's almost perfect.
Katie,
for
the
work.
First lady with the ladies.
Well, I would.
Wait a minute. I do have an attire, Natalia. Yeah,
I just
Natalia,
like that too.
Natalia,
greatest ring attire of all time. I want to. Yeah,
Natalia wearing Mad Max uniform. All right, Katie.
Nothing.
Well, of all time, I'll say Randy Savage.
Yeti.
And right now, honorable mention goes to Naomi just because I love her shoes so much.
Love the shoes.
As far as guys, though, I'll just say John Cena. He's the only guy that can make shorts work.
He wears fucking jean shorts.
I wear jean shorts.
They don't even make those anymore.
This is the second time in two shows that I have heard somebody talk about jean shorts ever. Last time was fucking Top Gun and Top Gun 2. Thanks, fucker.
Because they don't make them anymore.
Yeah, they do.
You don't have to make them.
Yeah, they do make them still, sir.
Biohazard, Mr. Fashion of the Fashions. Let me explain to you guys how fashion he is. He wears a different wrestling t-shirt every day I see him. That's how fashion he is. What do you think of who's the best dressed in WWE right now?
I like how you're making fun of me wearing a different wrestling shirt when you do the same fucking
thing.
Hey,
shut up.
Yeah, but you guys are still aren't on my level.
Hey, I wear a different pocketed t-shirt every day.
I could wear a different wrestling shirt every day and not repeat a shirt for over 3 months.
Yeah, that's sad. Biohazard, go ahead.
Let's go with King Cuerno with the big fucking deer on his head.
Who the hell is that?
That's kind of weird.
From Lucha Underground. He wears his crown is a deer head with the antlers still attached. There's a cape.
You couldn't go like Hexagon or Aerostar.
No, I didn't like Aerostar. I like Drago.
Yeah, I do like
Drago.
It's kind of weird,
dress
though.
It up like fucking, when he takes the mask, the mouth part off his mask and a little tongue comes out.
That
it's not actually his tongue. It's like a black sludge tongue.
All right. Let's see what else DOG is going to talk about.
Next up, Davey Richards is being built while Eddie's on the shelf, and I like this idea, but I wanted to know, is there anybody else out there, maybe on the indie scene, that you think would fit that X Division perfectly? I'm going to throw out Trevor Lee. I think that he would be a great fit for the X Division.
Anybody else in the independent circuit that we know about that will fit the X Division perfectly?
He's being built as a stepladder.
Okay.
Yeah,
I hate that little troll.
I couldn't comment on this because I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't watched Indies in forever. The only one I can think of is ACH.
Heavy set knows. Heavy set.
ACH, Johnny Gargano. I think Davey Vega is a small market talent. Hasn't really hit anywhere big yet, but I think he would do great.
I bet there's a lot of guys out there that would do good in the X Division.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty.
Even a guy like, what was Gargano's like partner for the...
Gulak?
No, I think they were Tennessee Gentlemen or something.
Oh, Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
He's the Kentucky Gentleman.
Oh, the Kentucky Gentleman. Sorry.
He's actually from the small town that my company is from.
Oh, nice. But yeah, I think he would be freaking fun in that division.
Oh, he's a great comedic wrestler. I've always said that I think a four-way I would love to see is Chuck Taylor versus Colt Cabana versus Marion Fontaine versus Tracy Smothers.
Have you watched any of Grado?
I've seen Grado's good. I've been live to a Grado match. Those four though are way funnier. I think if you want to make it any bigger, you would throw in Grado, Dick Justice, and Rockstar Spud.
Spud would be a lot of fun in that.
All right, let's see what SDOG's got.
And finally, this needs to be a nation that comes in unity right now with all this stuff going on, guys. Seriously, it doesn't need to be a red versus a blue thing anymore. We need to be a nation of gold. So I implore you to run and vote for hashtag EC3 2015. That way we can bring down those lazy youths and millennials 67%. Seriously, that was a hilarious segment. But in all honesty, is there another option for champ in 2015 besides EC3?
I'm going to say no, probably not.
Champion of what?
TNA.
TNA.
Oh, they have one of those?
Yeah, it's Kurt Angle. It's the cripple.
a Kurt Angle. I'm tired of Eric Young already. I'm not really a big fan of Bobby Roode anymore. Like, I'm a fan of his in-ring work, but I'm not sold on him being in the title picture.
Yeah, no, Bobby Roode should have moved on to WWE a long time ago.
You have Austin Aries, who has the briefcase, so he's going to cash that in sometime, or whatever they call it. I still don't know. I can't remember.
They still call it a cash-in.
No, EC3. Yeah. I think it's EC3 time.
With Kurt Angle being the face champion, that's really the only route you can take, because BDC needs the GTF.
EC3 has been the future of TNA since they signed him. That is one of the best acquisitions they've had in a very, very long time. And yep. until they crown a guy like him champion, they're holding themselves back.
I actually think they've done a pretty good job of the recent signings they've done.
He was the first,
right.
Best, the like first really good signing, line, along,
but yeah, right. But here, the last few they've done is really good. Like Camacho, Sean Ricker, Drew. I like all those.
He's made a name for himself in TNA. I will say that.
Yeah, it's
they took the training wheels off and they let him be himself for a version of himself.
Absolutely,
I wouldn't say training wheels, handcuffs.
Yeah,
because he was a guy that when he was on the original NXT, he did fantastic. Mm. When they incorporated Tout. You guys remember Tout?
Yeah, Tout.
How that eventually went by the wayside, but you know he developed a character on there called Tout Man, and I think he had like America Guy or something, and like he had fun with it. But when he was put actually on TV, or what little they actually used him, nothing shined. And when I seen him on the indie scene, which I saw him during the transition as Michael Hutter, he was fantastic. There was this raw edginess to him that you didn't see in WWE.
Yep.
TNA was the smart ones and not trying to mold him into something else. They kind of just said, go. And he's quick. He's so fucking quick-witted. I love him. And he's a guy that he can be a heel, and he gets it. When I seen him, he was, after he got injured, he was scheduled for AIW. He was supposed to be him versus Johnny Gargano, which we actually just had this past week, finally. But they had to fill in with Matt Cross, who's now Son of Havoc, versus Johnny Gargano. And EC3 was there as like his manager and everything. And he was a guy that you could tell certain things that he was doing. Like, he was doing it because he was being like the heel manager and like working with the crowd and working well with it. And it's just, he gets it. I fucking love him.
All right.
Okay.
And I finally bought the ECFN3 shirt. I'm so happy.
I got a question. When and if Fandango gets released and makes his way to TNA, will we see something similar out of him?
Possibly.
Because they're both very similar, like personality-wise, they're both very similar.
To me, there's too much if and all that with that statement.
Because
you know what? You know who it reminds me of, and it's the guy who is still yet to be released, is Zack Ryder.
Oh, I
love Zack Ryder. A lot of people hate him and all this stuff and didn't get the hype. I thought he was amazing, but as soon as he started getting de-pushed or whatever, a lot of people said will he go to TNA and all that stuff. It's been a couple of years since that all happened. He's still in WWE.
He made him way too much money. They ain't going to let him go.
Nope. All right, let's finish up with DRG, and then let's go to Best of the Week.
That's it for me, guys. It's 6:45 in the morning. I'm going to ride this smooth, mellow high from my place at work all the way to my house because I need some sleep. Kill it with content, guys. DRG, gone. Show you the other side.
I don't know what he was playing. Let's go to the Best of the Week. Katie, the First Lady, Best of the Week.
Okay, well, honorable mention goes to the speech that Damian Sandow did on Raw about him being himself. I thought it was a good speech.
Hear.
The little Curtis Axel thing, making fun of him, was fun. I enjoyed that. Best of the Week is the bringing back. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, could he have done that somewhere other than Green fucking Bay, though?
I thought the Green Bay crowd was actually pretty good this time.
I didn't think they said there was very little reaction to that, though.
Yeah, that was a little bit.
You might as well have had R-Truth calling Milky again.
Nah, I don't know about that.
They've been worse in the past.
Yeah, they've been way worse. This time they were a little bit bad. This time they were a lot better, I will say that. But lately, in the past, they've been really bad. But I enjoyed them this week. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. My best of the week, though, is just them bringing back Hang of the Ring. I mean, we've said how this could have been built better, but I like the fact that Bad News Barrett's King of the Ring, and I'm excited to see how he does going forward after this.
Heavy Set, Best of the Week.
I'm going last.
All right. Biohazard, Best of the Week.
Mine was Lucha Underground and the main event of the Trios Championship. Watching Angelico dive from the top of the arena all the way across into the ring to crossbody two guys from the crew. It was in fucking sane.
Awesome. Mob Jockey, best of the week.
Best of the week, as I'll just specifically say, Sheamus's brutality. The man, he just looks, everything looks so good that he's doing right now.
He's just laying beatdowns, man.
Oh, dude, they look pretty real.
He needs to do more backstage beatdowns.
Did you get to see King of the Ring yet?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
Dude, I'm pretty sure he beat the piss out of Neville.
Neville, yeah. Sorry. Shh, shh.
Just
Neville.
Go Adrian.
Best of the week for me, Neville. Neville, he performed amazing on Raw. He performed amazing. Probably one of the best matches on the pay-per-view to date. He was so happy to see it. And then he still performed twice on the King of Ring special we just watched, right before we just recorded this. It was fantastic. He was just great. He's showing what NXT can do. He's showing what he can do. He's showing what high flyers can do. And
the best part, the fucking crowd loves it.
Absolutely. 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 And there was no NXT chant this week. There was just happy, happy, joy, joy chanting for the best match.
Although he did say that he was, didn't he say that it was the longest reigning NXT champion?
Yeah. They mentioned that like 16 times. Trust me. Heavy set, best of the week.
All right. Like I mentioned earlier, I went to the AIW show. Make them say, all rap related show with a theme. The announcer actually dressed up in this basically kind of a pimp outfit, and it was fucking hilarious. The show was fucking insane. I mean, I always get a wrestling high after when I go to these shows, and the next day I'm left with this fucking hangover. But at this particular event, I have to start off with, I got a picture and got an autograph with the Young Bucks, of all people, the team that I think is overrated as fuck. They were nice. I will give them that. They didn't really seem to have an ego about them, but I still think they're overrated. They did entertain, and they will be back in July for their Absolution event, which is similar to their own WrestleMania. What else happened that night? Mickie James was there, got a picture and autograph with her. She was really nice, but that was also between those two. I mean, there was lines to get the autographs and pictures with them, but I got both of them fairly quick.
How hot is she?
She's definitely got the MILF 5 going on now. Other things that happened. Veda Scott, one of my personal favorites, finally won the AIW Women's Championship after trying to get it for so long. I'm not sure if there's any other title changes or any other notable people there. Obviously, EC3 was there. Talked to him. That's another reason why I love him. Just the times that I've got to talk with him has been amazing, and that's another reason why I support him so much. A guy who was also there, if you go to my Instagram, I posted two different videos. One with Ray Rowe, who is in ROH right now, and he went up against Josh Prohibition, and Johnny Gargano. Almost everybody that's in this faction called Dudes on TV, well, they're all on TV. Ray Rowe is ROH, Son of Havoc, Matt Cross is Lucha Underground, EC3 is obviously TNA, DJZ, TNA... And I'm missing somebody, maybe. No, that's it. They're going to go up against an Absolution, a 10-man tag match. It'll be those four plus somebody else going up against Johnny Gargano, a AIW trainee by the name of Alex Daniels, Josh Prohibition, who longtime friend of MDog20 Matt Cross, and also, if you had the Backyard Wrestling video game or you watched the Backyard Wrestling DVDs, that's where he ended up stemming from, and obviously Cleveland native. I'm missing one other person. The Young Bucks are in the match too, and I know that's where I'm missing somebody else. But
okay. Best of the way, AIW show. Go to one near you. That we're saying.
Go to an AIW show near you, yes, because it's only in Cleveland.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because it's all in Cleveland. Well, you know, if you're in Cleveland, you're traveling to Cleveland, you got a chance, go to an AIW show. Best of the week for me, definitely Damian Sandow. Can't talk about him more. I love the fact that he came out and just talked to the crowd for like 15 minutes. Not sure about the actual interruption, but I do enjoy when he was just like, I don't know where I'm going from here. And I think that's awesome. I think that's very upfront. It's keeping the fans current with what he's trying to do, with what he's thinking about.
It was real.
It was real. Exactly, Katie. It was real. And I appreciate that. I think that's why he's the best of the week for me. All right. Let's wrap it up, man. Heavy set, where you at?
I'm in East St. Louis.
East St. Louis. Biohazard.
Try not to get shot.
East St. Louis, Illinois. It's actually on the other side of the river.
Oh, you're good. You're fine. You're fine then. Biohazard, where you at?
I'm on the Twitter at the Biohazard King. And can I just say that I miss DRG when something awesome happens on Lucha Underground?
Yes, we know you miss DRG. Sorry, you can blame him for that. Katie, the First Lady, where are you?
At Katie First Lady, old school at the movies, and sitting on my bed just talking.
All right. Mop Jockey, where you at?
At the Mop Jockey.
And I'm at Devil Vamp on Twitter, and follow us at dsjmp.com, dsjmp.com on Twitter. Email us dsjmp.com@gmail.com. Follow us or visit us at dsjmp.com. www. That's a real website, guys. Go visit it. You can see the pay-per-view sheets, where we're at, what's going on, where we're betting. Suggest to us what we should bet. Come on. We know you listen because we get the stats from it. Anybody else got anything to say before we say goodbye to the rest of the week?
Bye.
Bye.
Watch the network this week. It's going to be good.
Yeah, watch the network this week. Thank you, Katie. Watch the network this week. It's going to be good. Everybody, have a great week.
Watch NXT. Watch Lucha Underground. Watch Impact Wrestling. Watch all wrestling.
Bye,
watch Daredevil.
Bye, Ant. Watch Daredevil.
Watch
bye.
Daredevil. Watch Avengers this weekend.
Everybody, bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.